week. We want WoW Classic. You don't want WoW Classic? Okay, you can have WoW Classic. WoW Classic is too crowded. We're DDoSing WoW Classic. This is just another week in gaming society. Stay tuned for the rest of the updates and gaming news starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 791 for this September the 8th of 2019. Yes, we're back live here at Twitch.tv/VOG Network after a break for a couple weeks. We had a show that was recorded in advance a couple weeks ago, and that went pretty well. You guys, I saw the chat, and you guys participated along with that. That was great. I think we'll do that again in the future if we're going to have a pre-planned show that we're missing. And then we were off last week because of Dragon Con Labor Day anniversary for the one and only Dark Sakura, Jamie Summers.
Yep, that was fun.
Hi, how are you and Dan?
We're good.
Good. This is a weird question, right? How was your anniversary? I should specifically have asked.
It was fun. Yeah. We went to Midtown and had a dinner at the Waterboy.
Oh, that's a fancy place.
It's a little fancy.
A little fancy pants.
And they brought us out, you know, a Prosecco toast, and we were happy, a little booze. Just chilled. It was nice chill. 5-day weekend for me.
Good. Good. It was a long weekend for me too. Obviously, I was out of town for 10 days, and Saturday I think I went to a little bit of a fancy pants restaurant too. We were in Atlanta at Dragon Con, obviously, and sometimes it is honestly faster, instead of trying to eat at the food courts down there, to just walk one block away from Dragon Con, call a Lyft or Uber, whatever you like, to pick you up and take you to Midtown a mile away where there's lots of nice restaurants. And that's what Exfer and I did one night. It was fantastic.
And Metal Mayhem, no, it is not themed after a stupid-ass Adam Sandler movie. Because people actually have taste, unlike, you know, I mean, some places here in Sacramento have taste. There's another bar that is under a lot of scrutiny for having a very racist disclaimer outside of their restaurant or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I only heard about that when I got back. Sometimes I'm glad to miss news.
The news came up after you got back.
Oh, I thought it was when I was gone.
No, but at any rate, the Waterboy is like super fancy. So just saying.
Cool.
Casual fancy, actually.
All right. And of course, that comment and more in our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VOGNetwork.com, at Twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And you can chat along with us here at Twitch with myself, Dark Sakura, and of course, we cannot forget, right there. He's right there. You can't miss him. It's Techmaster Loki.
I'm right here.
How are you?
I'm good.
What are you reading about with Animal Crossing? Oh, that's our kickoff topic coming up. I see. I thought it was an Animal Crossing related thing. I was like, oh.
It technically is.
I guess. Okay, fair.
Technically the truth.
I don't know, but you should see the groups I'm in. Everyone has analyzed every little frame, but we'll get into that.
Is that one of those, like, when a new Pokemon trailer comes out, there's like a 3-hour discussion YouTube about the 15-second trailer?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm in an Animal Crossing New Horizons group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's what people do.
Fun. We have like lots of lots of little things we've got to catch up on for not having been here for a few weeks. So before we get into the kickoff topic, let's address some of those outstanding agenda items from last week's meeting.
Yes.
Let's go over the action items from last time we had a meeting. So first off, I want to give a big thank you to everybody I saw and met, networked with, talked to, had fun with at Dragon Con 2019. I'm actually wearing my Dragon Con badge tonight and sprinkled some effects from the con throughout the studio tonight. But I had a great time at Dragon Con. Awesome panels. Great. Some familiar faces from Twitch places like Giant Size Team Up and so forth that I've worked with before that I got to work with again. And new faces as well on many panels. Some great like cosplay folks on Twitch here. Some other video game channels and so forth. So it was just a great year for like networking and talking. A big, big thank you to the video game track for having me back to do a last-minute Battle Royale panel, which we talked a little bit about at the tail end of the Bobby Blackwolf show this week. And also I got to moderate the World of Warcraft voice actors panel, which was great. The talent on there was so, so good. So many great voice actors. Loved hearing Dave Fennoy, who's the voice actor for Vol'jin, was actually doing some – and he does a lot with The Walking Dead. He's a very well-known voice.
Facebook buddies.
Oh, yeah. He's a very well-known voice actor. He's great. Dino does a lot of the, like, goblin gnome-type voices, like Professor Putrescide and stuff. He's hilarious. He has a lot of the comedy events there as well. Let's see. Samantha Inoue Hart. She was really, she was just adorable, and she has a really high pitched voice. So you, I was like, I already know what characters you're voicing just based on your voice. But she was so sweet. I liked her a lot. Quentin Flynn, I had a panel with him last year because he's also a voice in Mass Effect, but he's also the voice of Kael'thas, which you know, he's a very commanding presence and voice. So it was a lot of fun to be with him.
That's a very dramatic voice.
Yes, yes. It's funny because some of the voices are like, "Oh, you're a boss that I've wiped to in this game a lot of times." And then, not that I'm going to play favorites, but maybe a little bit just because I love Kimberly Brooks. Like, she was just – I love them all, but I really love Kimberly Brooks. And she, of course, is Ashley in Mass Effect, but she has a resume.
And she's also Allura.
Okay, yeah. If I were to open up Kimberly Brooks' resume, it would be like that thing where I open up the scroll and then the scroll falls on the ground and starts rolling because that's like her resume. And she was so friendly and nice and great. So, yeah, just it was a real honor to work with everybody on that panel. So, yeah. And yeah, Dragon Con was wonderful. A big thank you just personally. I don't think he listens to this program, but I have to thank Charles McFall for, who's the director of the, digital media track for like just everything, like the belief he's had in myself and Bobby and our abilities and so forth over the years. And I feel like I really owe him a lot for a lot of the opportunities I've gotten at Dragon Con. So I just want to give a big thank you. And of course, you know, not to leave anybody out, obviously, I get to spend the weekend with Bobby Black Wolf and Jennifer, and we had a lot of fun. And my pal Extifer from Guys on a Show back in the day went to his first Dragon Con.
Cool.
And we had a lot of fun. If you want to hear more about it, you can check out the archives here at VOG Network on Twitch. We did a little special show midweek. We did Guys on a Dragon Con. So we were playing Overwatch, which it was tough because we were getting really distracted by Overwatch the first 15 minutes. But when we kind of scaled it back and did one-on-one matches instead, we were able to like talk a lot about. So if you want to hear the stories about how Extifer and I got invited to meet Twitter friends at a public gathering where all the men were not wearing pants, just I'm gonna leave that teaser right there. So you can go check that out, Guys on a Dragon Con, in the Twitch archive. You do have to be a subscriber to access the video archive here on Twitch, but good news. A lot of you guys get your free subscription with Twitch Prime, and it's September, so it's really cheap. It's like half off this month. So if you are feeling so inclined, you can subscribe to VOG Network on Twitch. That's the last I'll plug that, though. I don't want to commercial, all the things. But thank you to everybody involved with Dragon Con. I had a fantastic time once again, and I will see you in 2020. Okay, an outstanding agenda item I have to ask you about, Loki, because we've been following this on the past few weeks of the show. So you were going to participate in a game jam.
And I did.
And now here's the thing. I could see you were broadcasting, but obviously I'm at a con. I can't really watch.
Yeah.
And the three-hour time difference is really killer, too. So I could see you were broadcasting, but I never got to see past, like, day two. What became? So walk me through your game jam journey quickly.
So I had taken a couple days off to work on my game jam game. But I knew like from the get-go that time was going to be a problem because I have a day job and family, and it's just hard to be able to dedicate enough time to a game jam at all. So I thought, hey, maybe, you know, if it's a week long, maybe I might have a better chance. Still was a problem. I thought it went okay. Like, so I got the concept down and I started building the game, and I'm still working on it. I'm not going to give up on it. It's just that I didn't finish it by the deadline, which is fine. But like looking at what other people did, like my initial thought, so let me back up. So I did the thing called a community game jam, and the theme ended up being the game is a liar. And so that was the theme, and we had to kind of figure out what to do with that. Now, my initial thought was, okay, let's just make it a I Want to Be the Guy type of game or something like that, or Kaizo Mario type of game. But a lot of people did that shit. And so I was like, I don't want to do that because that's just the obvious thing.
Did you fall into the typical Loki trap of I picked – because I had to be different. I picked a project that was too big for me to take on in the time frame.
No, it wasn't really. I kept simplifying it as I went along. So I don't think it was that. It was just I didn't have enough time to work on it because I ended up having less time dedicated to it than I could have been dedicated to it. So.
But you are committing to finish, yes?
Yes, I'm committing to finish. So what it ended up being, it was this game called Bullshot because the premise of it is that
Loki, this is a family show. Watch your language.
No, of course, you know, that's industry term for like media that represents something at a much better quality than it actually ends up being. Not representative of the final product, if you will. So the premise is that you're testing these weapons made by this company called Bullshot Arms, where all of the guns look really amazing, but they all suck in a different way. And so you have to overcome the flaws in these weapons to in order to progress through the game. And so it,
you went with like a reverse Gungeon idea, kind of, it sounds like.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. So it's basically, it's a top-down twin-stick shooter like Smash TV. And that's kind of how I set it up. And so I've been just going through right now and getting the gameplay stuff done. I recently just deleted my level because I'm rebuilding it with a 3D tile set instead of just, it was just like a template thing that I built out of cubes. So I'm kind of taking it a little further with that. It's just been adding stuff to it. But it just got to the point where like I knew that like I could feel like where my progress was time wise. And like I think by like the end of Tuesday, I'm like, I'm not going to finish this on time. There's no way. So, but I kept going through it. But I did stream the entire time. Well, not the entire time, but like each day I did stream. And I did end up hitting Twitch affiliate that last week. So that was cool. And I liked the live development stuff. And as I'm going along doing it, I kind of got more ideas with like, oh, hey, this would be kind of cool to like come up with a concept and just keep working at it like slowly and not necessarily under the time pressure of a game jam. I still want to do more of them, but like I'm not like a college student or somebody that can like that has like, okay, I'm gonna block out 48 hours dedicated to that. Like I can't do that. Yeah. I can't.
But just commit to finishing the one. It's okay. You can finish late. It's okay. Our listeners will be so happy to play a Loki game. I know
exactly.
It.
And looking at some of the other games,
some people finish too soon.
And looking at some
well, I see what you did there. Your little bullshot jab there. No. But you know, I bet a lot of the people that did finish something, they're probably going to still refine it.
Well, right. And there's some that like were out there. Like I played some of the other games that were like, you know, I feel that they were really rough, but then maybe I'm setting my standards way too high for a game jam.
Yes.
But even still,
yes.
Warmer. Fine, whatever. But like, I thought I lowered my standards enough and I kept going, okay, well I got to make this easier and easier and easier. But like, I don't know. I just didn't want to do the obvious thing, which is like a Kaizo Mario thing, because I saw so many of those out there. In fact, like the guys,
those are annoying.
Let's slam all those people that chose to
do that. No. That's not bad. Like even the guy, like one of the
at least you guys finished.
One of the guys that did it, like Braxis or whatever, he's one of the creators putting on the thing. That's what he did. He did one of those, but like his twist on it was that like he using the mouse, you can kind of see where all the traps are and stuff. And so that was kind of cool, but
okay, that's clever.
I mean, I guess next time I'll just do something even simpler. But I like where I was going with this, and I think it'll be cool.
I will say this: I think it is really cool that you kind of like I don't know if it was like holding yourself accountable or whatever, but like the fact that you chose to like live stream it and do it that way, I thought was a really cool idea. And I do see in chat, like Questbuster in chat says, I watched a few of Loki's streams. It was looking good. His concept was cool, and so I do think that is really cool that at least you like documented what you have done.
And
so I hope you.
And I want to continue it, and I probably will start live streaming it again at some point. You know, obviously not as often, but I have been working on it almost every day, so it does look much better than it was. I mean,
I'm looking over his shoulder.
It's hard to see.
I can't just magically put it on the camera, but I can see he's working on something. I don't know what the fuck any of it is, but I see vectors and shapes and things.
It's basically a level with the doors still there, but the level part's deleted out of it because I deleted it out.
I just had an inspiration for a name of an OLR game, but I don't know what it's going to be. It's along the lines of Pixel Shits. Vectords.
It would be when Pixel Shits goes 3D.
Vectords,
yes.
Hey, like, YYR, sequel, Vectored.
I'm sure he'll get the ride on.
But yeah, like just even like going, and we'll talk about it later. I went to an event this weekend, also looking at what some other indie developers are working on.
That's upcoming business.
I understand. But like, you know, like what they do, there's a thing called a progressive game jam where they're working on game jam games over the course of like several months. Mm-hmm. Also, though, at a time frame that I can't participate. I would love to participate in that, but I can't at the time that it's at. It's like 5 hours every Saturday. And I'm
very nervous to propose another VOG game jam after the last one. I took so long to follow.
No, we need to do it.
Well, what if we did some type of like virtual progressive thing at a time you can do it? And we all like stream a certain. Why not we? Because I'll do something. I won't do a game making, but maybe something else.
You can do a game jam. Like they have like game. There's like play.
I'll make a Twine game. Okay.
Well, they have like Playmaker and stuff. That's all. It's all visual, like block based stuff. So okay. I mean, right. We could
I'll
do
it. Something. Else. But maybe choose a block of time that you can do, and we can do that for a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, and also like the thing is like. It's nice to be in this and keep doing it and stuff. And as I'm going along, of course, every time you do it, you learn stuff from it and you get better. And that's the whole point. That's why I do it. Like, I knew that there was a very slim chance that I would make it in time. I was hoping that I would, but it's the learning process. And
you already have your first sign up. Dar Tetsuya says, if you want to do a game jam, let me know. I'd love to dust off Multimedia Fusion 2 again. I'll even stream it.
I think we should do it. Yeah, I really do.
Coming soon.
But yeah, we'll see more of this project. This is not something I'm going to be giving up on, and it's been actually really fun. So the gameplay's there, which is the important part. So now I'm just getting the level stuff done, and then I have to add a ton of guns because that's the whole point. Is there's a ton of guns in the game, and I only have two right now.
All right, one more outstanding action item that I can think of, and then we need to get into our kickoff topic. What, we're only like 15 minutes into the show. I haven't gotten to gaming news yet, but this one is really important. So over the summer, I was giving you all the saga of the online Survivor game that yes. I was playing, the Survivor LARP that I was participating in is what I kind of referred to it as. And I won, shock and awe. I actually won. It was first place out of 22 people. Do y'all remember what my prize was, what I was going to win? For because the budget didn't have $1 million.
A blanket of your face.
A blanket with either the game's logo or my face on it. And guess what, everybody? All
That's
right,
the blanket. On. It now, looks like a towel, kind of.
Can you guys talk yes. for the podcast folks
Rob
while I
has
open this?
A giant towel with his face on it.
I assume
I don't
it's
know if
his
it's
face
made of
on
terry,
it.
But oh my God, Rob. Yes. Oh, good Lord.
Oh.
Princess Rob.
Yeah.
It says Princess Rob.
And now?
Because is it like your name is over the top of it at the bottom, but you had your shirt that says Princess on it? So it says Princess Rob.
It does kind of say Princess Rob. I don't know if the host intended that, but
I think it's
I'll
hilarious.
Take it. But the other thing is that this is the Princess Daddy shirt. I think this is this the one that Delvin got me? I think he got me the strawberry beefcake one. No, Princess Daddy I found somewhere else. And it was funny. So I wore it, and I wore it when I took the picture, not knowing that at some point it would end up being on a Victor's blanket.
That's funny.
So I thought, here's my next idea. So you notice how like it's all like white, like around the outside, like it's yeah. just mm-hmm. like it's just begging to be defaced, right? With Sharpies. So Dark Soccer's eyes just like it totally just did the cartoon thing where they slanted downwards, like evil thoughts are entering her mind. But no, it's not for you, Dark Soccer. But I'm meeting one of the other players is going to be out here in San Francisco in like 3 weeks. So I'm going to get him to sign it. And then I'm going to be out in New York and one of the other players lives out there. I'm going to get him to sign it. So I'm going to try. My next goal is to get all the players and people that were involved in the game to sign it in the upcoming years. Because
I'll stop the order for the incredible glow in the dark paint called Lit.
So I was like, one of the players is in the UK. One of the producers was in Australia. So it was going to take a little time to travel the world and get all that. So there we go. Awesome. Except it's really hot. I would love to wear this for the whole show, but it's really hot. So I think
maybe
I'll fold
it back. Maybe in the winter.
Maybe in the winter I will. So I'm going to give this blanket back to Pikachu. Let's get into our actual kickoff topic tonight. Get into video games. There was a pretty big Nintendo news event this week, wasn't there?
So they did a Nintendo Direct, and as we figured, because it is coming up on the 1 year anniversary of Nintendo Switch Online, they announced, as we figured they would, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System Nintendo Channel type thing. So basically, you can play retro Super Nintendo games, much like you could with the NES classics. Some of the games, or the games that are included in the initial release, Brawl Brothers, Demon's Crest, Breath of Fire, F-Zero, Joan Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Kirby's Dream Course, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Pilot Wings, Star Fox, Stunt Race FX, Super EDF, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Metroid, Super Puyo Puyo 2, Super Soccer, Super Tennis, and The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. So that's pretty awesome. One thing, though, that was interesting that kind of is that they mentioned that they're not going to be adding games regularly anymore to the NES and Super NES stuff. So that's kind of, I'm surprised. Like, it wasn't a lot already, and now we're getting even less. I don't know.
I'm not surprised about that at all, actually, just because it takes them off that monthly schedule that everybody's kind of like beholding them to, and they just might not have enough agreements or whatever in there. I mean, I'm disappointed, don't get me wrong, because I am a big fan of, and by the way, just totally ate a story that's coming up later, but that's okay. We'll correct the sidebar here in a moment.
Sorry.
That's okay. they're obviously kind of like feel like they're held to this monthly schedule of game releases. And the reality is that, maybe they don't want to be held to that monthly standard because they may just not have enough agreements on the Super Nintendo side from third parties and what have you, especially since we know companies like Square Enix released that collection of mana, which that's where Secret of Mana is at. And it did I'm assuming it did pretty well for themselves. So I wouldn't expect, unlike the hardware SNES classic, I would not expect that we're going to get like Final Fantasy 2 and 3. I use my quotey fingers because we all know they're 4 and 6 Japan, but when they were released here, they were Final Fantasy 2 and 3. I would not hold my breath that those will ever come to this online service, because the reality is if Square Enix wants to do that, they're going to just release those games independently. What I really wish they'd do is do a port of Final Fantasy IV on PSP. That's the version I really want on Switch, to be honest. But anyway, I don't necessarily see that maybe the third-party participation is going to be as high. Obviously, it's there. Yes, we have Capcom games in here. We have Data East in here. We do have third parties. I'm not saying third parties are not going to happen. I just feel like maybe Nintendo does not have all those agreements lined up. They're probably projecting their schedule, and they can't stay on a monthly schedule, so they're going to do basically a more when they feel like it.
Yeah.
And that maybe it'll work out a little better, actually, because as interesting as those SP releases were, let's be real, they're just glorified save states. That's all they are, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they'll incorporate those somewhat differently so they don't feel they have to release these SP games just to buff up the number of games they're offering. You know what I mean? So maybe if we only get releases every 3 months, well, maybe we're going to get like 10 games every 3 months. That's still probably a little high, but it's like 7 games every 3 months or something. You know, we're still feeling like, ooh, this is a big,
we'll see, I guess.
Gush of games. Yeah, we'll see.
They announced a new character for Smash Ultimate. So Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury is going to be coming to Smash Ultimate. And they also announced that there are going to be even more DLC characters coming as well outside of the Fighter's Pass. What else? We've got Tokyo.
Can I say the Terry Bogard thing? Like, there's a lot of people on Twitter and so forth that are just kind of like, what? Who? Huh? But, like, I really liked Fatal Fury. Like, Fatal Fury is my favorite of
the
Neo Geo.
I like the video,
Geo games.
Though, they did where the thing going through all everybody's different hands.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah, and Dan and I were like, we were just like, could you imagine Iori in Smash? That would be hilarious. Cool.
I don't want a tinfoil hat, but maybe I'm going to tinfoil hat a little bit, okay? So they announced as part of that they're not going to end it after one more character. Originally, they said 5 DLC characters, but they announced there's going to be more, right?
Yeah.
I will just point out, in that little montage of people grabbing the envelopes and flopping, you know who else wasn't there? I'm just saying, if there's another Fatal Fury character that is kind of legendary, it's Mai. So, and I would love it if she was there.
There's also other characters they didn't show, like Shizumaru or Cham Cham, or, so many other SNK characters.
But I'm thinking of, like, flagship SNK characters, just because, like, obviously Terry Bogard and Mai were in, like, almost every single Fatal Fury game. Mai wasn't in the first one.
They were skipping through a lot of the Samurai Showdown characters, which were really big characters.
Fair. So again, I'm tinfoil hatting a little bit.
If they brought in Hanzo, though, that would be pretty badass.
But I love that Terry Bogard's in there just because of the SNK fighting games. I love Fatal Fury. It's a good one. So, yeah. And
I like, though, the Mii characters. How one of them is Sans from Undertale.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I'm surprised with the Terry Bogard character that they did in there. They didn't do the gender swap Terry Bogard from the all-female fighting game that the SNK did just recently.
Oh, yeah. The one that was – I can't remember the name of it, but you're right. They had the all-female fighter thing that came
but
out.
But they had – yeah, female Terry Bogard.
Tammy Bogard. No, I don't know what the name was. But, yeah, they gender swapped a lot of characters.
I don't know if – do they bring back Miss X?
Ooh, Bobby got a good point. Don't forget, all the Smash characters have like 8 different costumes. Perhaps one of the Terry costumes will be the gender swap.
Maybe.
Terry. That's a very good thought from Bob. SNK heroines.
Terry is a girl's name. From, you died of dysentery.
All right, anyway.
Let's see. So there's a port from Tokyo Mirage Sessions, FE Encore. And that's coming out in January. That was a Switch or a Wii U game at one time. Deadly Premonition was getting a sequel, and then they ported Deadly Premonition, I guess, the original one as Deadly Premonition Origins, which came out the same day. They'll be doing an Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection, which is a port of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag and Assassin's Creed Rogue. The Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition coming in 2020. This was a big one. Overwatch is coming to the Switch in October.
Yeah, those rumors were really gaining steam through the week. Ever since we kind of finished our last episode, it was like there was lots of the Overwatch
stuff.
Well,
that's one less thing that's going to be at
BlizzCon. You know, BlizzCon. Yeah, one less BlizzCon. Well, I'm sure it'll be there, and they might do tournaments or something. But yeah, what do you think about Overwatch on the Switch? Like,
that's cool.
I think it's cool, and there's definitely a lot of people that want it. I'm just going to say it is a little bit that this game's been out for several years now, and it seems to be they're releasing mostly the same game again. I hear there are like, ooh, you can do tilt controls, and you do Junkrat's little riptire and stuff. Okay, cute, but let's be real. That's not a real feature, okay? So, like, I would have thought it would have been cool if maybe, like, you could play offline in, like, a LAN mode. Like, Overwatch has 1v1 in it. Hello, that's what Xfer and I did most of our streaming on earlier this week, was 1v1. So you could do, like, some LAN stuff. Or if I'm at a convention like Dragon Con or BlizzCon and I want to play with a bunch of other people, we should be able to do an impromptu match, not necessarily tied to online. It would be unranked, and you wouldn't get any of the points for loot boxes. Mm-hmm. Sure, all that would – but there's a way you can do it. Like, if you're going to say, but this particular online restriction, you're nickel and diming it. They could do it offline if they really wanted to. But – they're not, and that's further exacerbated by the fact that you can't even really buy the cartridge. Just buying the physical edition is just a code, which I get. Like, Overwatch is a very, like, online-centric game, yes, but I'm just saying it would have been nice. They could have done these kind of, like, extra little things. They're not going to charge $60 for it, are they? Do we know the MSRP for this yet? Is it 40?
I don't know.
But I just... you know, this.
I don't think they would charge $60 for that.
I don't think so either. I heard 40, but I didn't hear it like in a that is 100% the way it's going to be way. But I'm just going to point out, Overwatch has been a game that's been on sale for $20 multiple times now. So to kind of justify the Switch thing, like, as rad as I think it is that it's on the Switch, like, A, this should have happened probably at least a year ago. B, I need the price to be a little bit more reasonable because
40.
So they are going to charge 40 for it.
But here's the thing. So
that's on the high end.
Hold on. So it's $40, but it also includes 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online with the physical version that's out. I don't know what the online version is going to be costing. Maybe like 30.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. Some folks in chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network. Kaijudo says, Overwatch is a sports game, so don't expect it to change. They won't do an Overwatch 2. I wouldn't rule out an Overwatch 2 completely, but I do completely understand what you mean about, like, Overwatch League and all this. Like, they don't want to roll out a replacement for the game that's in the league. They're going to continue making enhancements to what they have. But I could see an Overwatch expansion Blizzard is very big on expansions, right? And not necessarily expansions with like characters, not that, but I would think like maybe a single player campaign expansion. Think along the lines of those events they do for the Rising, the Rising events they do. Something where you could kind of do that a little more in like a single player type of way. I could see Overwatch going in that direction for Switch, PC, and all the platforms, really. That's what I could see happening as opposed to like an Overwatch 2. I would agree that their base Overwatch game probably not going to change for a while. They'll probably do another version of it for PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox that runs on the same engine, but just more better-er graphics, to use a technical term.
Some other announcements. Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition is out on the Switch. Game Freak's Town is now being called Little Town Hero. It's coming out October 16th. Bethesda is re-releasing Doom 64 on the Switch on November 22nd.
Will I need to be logged into my Bethesda.net account to continue?
Hopefully they won't do that this time. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast will be available on the Switch later this month. How about porting some of these old games here? Super Kirby Clash, which is a free-to-play Kirby game, it was released. Luigi's Mansion 3 Scream Park mode. They say it's like a multiplayer version of it. Which, it's 2 to 8 players against each other in like an arena with ghost battles. They showed some more stuff for Pokemon Sword and Shield. They had a new mode called Pokemon Camp. I guess you can play with your Pokemon and do customization.
And cook things.
And cook things because
lots
everybody loves
lots of
cooking.
Hot dogs. Is it hot dogs or curry? No, curry rice.
Yes.
That was
and cool. Then Animal Crossing New Horizons. They showed also some updates with that, including some of the crafting stuff that you can do.
And now Darkstalker and I will start the four-hour dissection of the information
that was
discussed.
So some of the other things that were noticed, though, by the way, is that they did change some textures between the build they showed before and this one. They also carry around like bags, like the fishing. There's a fishing box that you can carry around.
I can have a merce.
You can have a merce.
Yes.
But they also have like badges that you can put on different doors and things. So more outside house customization.
I'm really impressed. Like, you know, I've been sitting here beating the drum of like the core Animal Crossing game needs to freaking like be updated because essentially it didn't really change from the GameCube version to the Wii version. Like little tweaks here and there. But like this one. Looks like you're decorating the outdoors and shit. There's more
and
stuff you're doing. Like it's
animals can wear pants.
What kind of oppressive society are we creating?
Can we do one thing though? Because this is an online game, which I'm assuming requires Nintendo Switch Online. So we already have it established that I probably would have Nintendo Switch Online, which includes Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. Can we put those back in there and have consoles and everything like we used to do in the original Animal Crossing? Since we technically already have access to those.
Technically, the original Animal Crossing didn't have the games in them.
Fine. The one that came out on the GameCube.
That is original to us here in the States. Yes. I love it. When
and
she
technically, when I said Animal Crossing, I wasn't talking about Animal Kingdom.
Animal Forest,
whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, I mean, the suggestion you make, it seems workable, but we're also assuming that Animal Crossing will require Nintendo Online. It probably won't, actually. It probably won't require it. It's only going to require it if you want one of those gates, you know, and you go visit other people's town and use any of the online features.
Fine. Then how about it allows you to do it if you have Nintendo Online. So if you don't have it, you can't play them.
Yeah, maybe the Nintendo games only come from doing some type of exchange with your friends or going somewhere you can only get to outside the gate, like an Animal Crossing Mega Mall or something that has the games. I don't know.
All right. Anyways, some other stuff that they announced. Trials of Mana is the, I guess, remake of second Densetsu 3 will be available next April.
Nice.
Return of Obra Dinn is coming out this fall. That's a cool-looking kind of like a pirate-type game, which is all done in like black and white dithered graphics, which is kind of cool. Rogue Company is a new team-based shooter from Hi-Rez Studios coming out in 2020. Tetris 99 is getting a new mode called Invictus, which is basically Tetris 99 with the best of the best players. So you can also, there's going to be a two-player versus CPU mode. And those are going to be coming out as well as part of a packaged version of the game coming out. Or actually already came out. And then there's another Daemon X Machina demo that was launched last week, in which probably be the last one.
Some friends of mine were playing that and thought the character customization was fun.
What was that game, though, where you're on the British battleship or something? Or?
That's the Return of Obra Dinn.
Yeah, that game was interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, you have a watch that's like you can set stuff back in time so you can see how people died to solve some puzzle or something.
Bobby Blackwolf with a hot take on the NES games and Animal Crossing, saying, I'd hate to have to open Animal Crossing and then go somewhere in the game to play an NES game instead of going into the NES online app on my Switch to play them. It's kind of like how I don't want to use VR to play an 80s arcade game in VR, a screen inside a screen. It's like we now have a better delivery mechanism for NES and SNES games. We don't need Animal Crossing for it anymore. Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying like that would be the only way to play the games or make like I just like those little cartridges sitting in your house, little NES system, were cute little decorations.
And took up space.
And it would be, sure, and it might be, like, fun to have your little arcade, and you could actually play the game. Just as a cute little thing, it doesn't need to be.
They lived in my basement.
But I'm saying that the only way to get those machines for your house is to, like, go out, get a machine, bring it back to your village type of thing, and you have to use the internet to do that. So, like, it doesn't, it's just a cute little decorative thing. If you don't like it, don't do it. Sheesh.
It would be cool, though, if you could build an arcade.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Like, do, like, throw a few Sims-ish kind of things, you know, where you can build, like, commercial properties.
Well, we said that for, like, when they did Animal Crossing on
and
the Wii.
Break the Nook monopoly.
Is that it would have been cool if they're not going to do these NES games anymore because they realized they could sell them for $5 a pop or do what they're doing now, the Netflix thing. It would have been cool if they just did some original little Animal Crossing, crappy little Atari reimaginings or Game & Watch reimaginings with Animal Crossing characters and have those be the things in your house. But instead, they made Nintendo Land.
And Bobby says it's a deserted island. There are no commercial properties. It's a deserted island with other people on it. Yeah, but as you can see, you can... what's a good word? Domesticate the island and people have homes.
You can gentrify the island.
Yes,
very
gentrify.
Easily.
Is it really deserted if there's other people on it?
You know what? Eventually, you build a nuclear power plant in SimCity. So it's just eventually, you know.
Although
drill, baby, drill.
Sorry. Can't have video games on a deserted island, but we can talk to animals.
Although I am.
That's where I draw the line, you know, in reality here.
For Sims 4, I'm saying right now that I am working on a commercial property in my game that is a fitness gym and wine bar. I would go there.
And Bobby does want to remind us, I'm getting it day one. Yes, of course, of course. As the CEO 100, Matt says, what Rob really wants is Game Room the game. Fuck yes, I do. Why didn't like Microsoft just completely, instead of like kind of half-assing it with Viva Pinata? I know some of you love Viva Pinata, sorry. Why didn't they just fully fucking rip off Animal Crossing with Viva Pinata characters and make it Game Room? Like, come on. Ah. All right, anyway. Sorry, Nintendo Direct.
That's it.
Oh, okay. did you mention the Xenoblade Chronicles thing?
The Xenoblade Chronicles.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mentioned it, but
So they're doing the HD reimagining of Xenoblade Chronicles. I'm really excited for that because that game has had an interesting history. It's a very good RPG. I think when I played it on the Wii, finally, I think I said it was the best PlayStation 2 RPG I played on the Nintendo Wii. That's kind of how I feel about Xenoblade Chronicles. But here's the thing. That game was really hard to play previously because remember it was that whole Operation Rainfall. They didn't release it here for the longest time. They had it in the UK. They had it in Japan. I'm going to fess up. I pirated it because they didn't want me to buy it. They didn't release the game yet. Then finally, they finally decided, oh, okay, fine. We'll release Xenoblade Chronicles in the US as a GameStop exclusive. Or you can buy it in the Nintendo Online store. But
it's a remaster GameStop exclusive as well?
No, thank heavens, it's not. And then they released it one more time, but only for the new 3DS. Not the old 3DS that many people already have, but only for the new 3DS. So, like, I'm not saying you couldn't play that game, but I just feel like that game was always somehow limited to the base. But now to see that they're going to do an HD remaster, it will probably be on the digital shop. It will be very easy to get a hold of. We are not going to have to worry about how the audience for the game is going to be limited in one way or the other. So I feel like more people will finally get to experience it. I'm sorry. I know you've been dying to comment.
This is actually going back to Animal Crossing. I just had a brainwave. What if the universe of Animal Crossing is kind of like the world of Hot Tuffle Boyfriend, where humans are, like, dying off and animals have taken over everything and have grown, like, anthropomorphic qualities?
What if the Mayans were right and the world actually ended in 2012 and our reality is the fake reality and Animal Crossing is the real reality? Can you prove that I'm wrong?
The burden of proof should be on proving that you're right, not proving that you're wrong.
Look who got elected president. I rest my
case.
That's
not in my reality.
He could have had an animal controlling him from the top of his head.
I rest my case. Anyway, moving on. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. All right. Moving on. Sorry. Internet conspiracy theories was like a thing that came up at Dragon Con. Like, I am so proud. Like, can I just state how proud I am of Bobby Blackwolf? When an Avril Lavigne song came on at the food court, he said, "Hey, Rob, it's Melissa."
He just said that in chat.
Did he?
What if Avril Lavigne died in 2003 and was replaced by a body double named Melissa?
Anyway. All right. I'm sorry. Where were we? Xenoblade Chronicles. Oh, yes. Great game.
Why do you have to be so complicated?
Bobby, with another comment that I think is worth addressing, saying, I know some people are waiting for Xenoblade Chronicles X to come to Switch so they can finally get rid of their Wii U. I would assume if this version does really well and sells oodles and oodles of copies that they'll look at doing a Xenoblade Chronicles X. Why not? Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is already on the Switch. So, yeah, why not Xenoblade Chronicles X? It'll be fun. All right. So that's it for the Nintendo Direct then.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about our gaming weeks now that we're, almost an hour into the show. How is your gaming week? The types of video games that we have been playing this week, meaning if you want to go back 3 weeks, you
this
can...
This week's?
You, yeah. How is your gaming weeks? Dark Sakura, why don't you start us off? You don't have
Sims.
You don't have to name every single thing. Just, you know.
My usual phone stuff in Sims 4, because I now have finally made a vampire, which is really distracting when you're trying to design your vampire and they stop and hiss when you're trying to change their eye color. So I'm making this, like, weird vampire family where there's, like, this old lady who doesn't give a shit. She's just a vampire, and she's living her best vampire life. And there's one who's trying to be, like, the extra vampire and trying to, like, bite everybody. And then there's, like, the young vampire who's kind of in denial. And then I'm going to have a ghost live in their house, too.
Only 53 more days until Halloween? Something like that?
It's Halloween season now. I've already decorated at work.
Anything can happen on Halloween. Anything.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. All right. That's it. Sims, more Sims.
And baking.
Hey, I was going to ask you during the agenda items because I didn't want to leave you out of the discussion. We haven't really talked about this, but I know you're prepping streaming stuff.
Yep.
Have you set a date yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, because I just ordered a shield for the a pop cover for the mic.
Oh, okay.
That I guess is on indefinite loan now.
Yeah, no, because I got a Yeti. You can have the I think that blue mic was donated to me anyway, so I'm pretty sure that was the one that Codeman gave to me. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure he will be completely okay with a pay it forward situation. So,
all right. Well, yeah. You know, the thing I'm missing is a webcam right now, and I'm probably not going to do cam stuff anyway, maybe just, like, as a switchover. But I'm – and then we are – I still have the Elgato capture that you loaned us an age ago.
Oh, yeah. I have a new one now.
Okay. So we're planning on trying to hook up some of the HD-friendly stuff, but I'm actually going to start off with just Sim stuff because it's easy and I can – you know, take feedback while I build houses.
Just try to get the habit. Make the habit of actually doing streaming. That's the hardest part. I say that for myself, too.
But I found the equipment I actually want to get is there's James from The Sim Supply listed all of the stuff on his website. And I really like the way he sounds on this mic. I really like the sound of it. And I was kind of looking into the same equipment. Although I'm not going to, you know, if I get a camera set up, I'm not going to, like, pay the bucks for a Leica. You know, I'm just going to deal with, like, a Canon or Sony or something.
I want to address this comment from our chat, because She-Hulk10 in chat says, you guys should think about using Mixer. It is fresh and new. You know, I did give Mixer serious consideration when we were looking at moving VOG Network to, you know, like, are we going to go to Twitch, Mixer, YouTube? You know, nothing was really off limits completely. I think ultimately we chose to go with Twitch just because at the time we made the decision, it's the larger community. The monetization elements and how you can kind of work with that, it seemed a lot easier to kind of get through that barrier of entry, where I'm not sure we would have met Mixer's barrier of entry. So those were like I don't want to sound anti-Mixer or anything by any means, because I'm really not. Like, I'm really excited that there are, like, competing platforms, because I think that's going to be great for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I actually see the Ninja, even though I don't watch him, Ninja moving to Mixer, I actually see that as a good thing. Like, that's really healthy for what these two sites are going through with their growing pains, and other people that want to enter this, you know, thing as well. So I watch Mixer, but as of right now, especially because of the fact that, you know, it's, we have to think not just for ourselves, but the other folks that stream on Twitch that make up the Voice of Geeks Network, I do see us staying on Twitch for an extended period of time. But if I have friends that are streaming on Mixer, I'd absolutely support them. It's a fun platform, and I like how they do the sparks. You know, it does different stuff.
I'm gonna monetize for one reason, and it's two words: student loans. Seriously,
right?
Debt consolidation.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on. Let's talk about more gaming weeks. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton because I've been busy working on my game. So I did end up playing for the first time yesterday Beat Saber. So that was fun. I got to play that.
How'd you like it?
It was fun. I did pretty well for my first time because they had like a competition they were doing on hard for one thing. I was like, I could probably do that. You know, I can play rhythm games.
God, I should have gone, because I've actually played Beat Saber. So
Bobby
saw me play a hard song in the VOG Suite.
Yeah,
Dragon
and
Con.
I did okay on it. Like, for the first, like, having not played the game before, the only problem I had was hitting stuff the wrong way sometimes. But I mean, considering it's the first song I played and the first time I played the game, I don't know. I did okay. I got like a D. Eh, whatever. But it was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. My kids want me to get it now because they got to play it as well. So I was like, okay, fine. I got to buy this now. So, yeah, I played that. And, I mean, a lot of other stuff I'll get into later. A lot of indie games. But it was mainly just that. And a little bit of Pokemon Go. I've been playing some of that. And, yeah, not much in the console stuff. This week, though, I probably will. Because there's some bigger games coming out that I've been looking forward to. That's it.
I've been playing a lot. I can't fit everything in, just because while I was flying on the plane, I played Mario Maker 2. I played some of the NES Classic Library. I played Diablo 3 for a little bit on Switch. Finally, the first time I played the Necromancer. I played at the Dragon Con Arcade. I played some Neon FM. And I had a friend of mine play Dance Dance Revolution for the very first time, mind you, at Dragon Con. So that was fun. So I played some DDR out of that. Oh, and I played DDR at a random arcade, a barcade in North Carolina as well, because there's a video on my Instagram or something of it. And it was fun because I was like, yeah, I'm 41, Dom Darion. So it was fun. And then, you know, various things at Dragon Con, like mentioned Beat Saber, and I think I saw Bobby playing some Attica and stuff. And then I came home and I was playing things too. Still playing quite a bit of Final Fantasy XIV, a little bit of No Man's Sky as well. I know I was doing some streaming earlier this week. The main thing I think I want to talk about as far as, like, games going and what I've been playing, I started playing World of Warcraft Classic, which came out. It was like the Monday or Tuesday that I left, it came out. So it was when I was out and visiting Exeter in North Carolina, that game came out, which, by the way, I don't know if we have any listeners or folks out there that were impacted by Hurricane Dorian in North or South Carolina, but it was like kind of eerie, the fact that I was out in Wilmington, North Carolina, in Cape Fear. I did an Ingress banner out in Cape Fear. It's an actual banner on my Ingress profile that says, "Bye, Felicia," and it's actually in Wilmington, so that's kind of fun. So it was neat to be out there, and I was out, we went to the beach side. So there's the Cape side and the beach side. We went to the beach side. I was out of the pier. So it's like blows my mind to think that a week later, then this hurricane is coming. So, like, you know, again, just, you know, my thoughts to anybody that was impacted, especially, of course, the Bahamas, we know were impacted very, very seriously. So just, you know, thinking of anybody we know that may have been impacted by all that, and hope all our folks are doing A-okay. Anyway, sorry, that just kind of sprung to mind when I was thinking about my trip to North Carolina. So I played World of Warcraft Classic finally when I got back. So luckily, like, the queues and all that stuff weren't an issue for me, because a lot of that died down, and I think they released some expansion servers. So my buddy Slagkick over at Game Buoy was like, you should play on old Blanche, because like Blanche from the Golden Girls. So we're on old Blanche. So I was like, all right, I'll play on old Blanche. And there's no queue over there, so it's fine. So I rolled a Dwarf Priest. I don't want to hear the Alliance versus Horde thing. It's where they were on Alliance, so I went Alliance as well. I will do a Horde someday, but I've played both sides in the main game thoroughly throughout the years. So I consider myself bifactional. But I've been leveling a Dwarf Priest, and I think she's now up to level 11. I streamed like the first 7 levels or so. But anyway, to kind of make a long story short, and even Dark Soccer made a comment like, I'm sorry. And how, you know, when WoW Classic was first announced, I think there were some of us that were like, why are people begging for this game that had no quality of life things in it whatsoever? And are people really going to appreciate it and so forth? And I've got to say, now that I've spent a couple hours with WoW Classic, I'm going to put it this way. I like it more than I thought I would. I do. Like, there's something about the slow burn and the fact that you really do have to earn those levels, and that maybe the difficulty is a little bit harder, because you get into situations where, like, you're pulling one mob, and if you're not careful, another one's going to add, and that's it. You're going to die. You know, and some of that they made easier in the later games. So I'm not saying easy equals bad. I'm not saying that at all. But I think I am starting to understand a little bit more maybe the challenge side of it. And for the gaming audience that does like to play games on challenging and very hard, perhaps that WoW Classic has some of that for them. And that's what they were missing maybe a little bit when WoW started to get all the quality of life upgrades to it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be leaving Final Fantasy XIV for this. And if regular Warcraft releases a new expansion, I'd kind of rather take a look at that for a little bit and so forth. But is WoW Classic like the, I don't know, is WoW Classic the like flash in the pan I thought it would be? Not necessarily. I do think they're going to run into a problem where all these people bombarded it early on. And I think that well will dry up after a couple months when, you know, regular WoW releases a new expansion, or after BlizzCon happens and something, you know, kind of draws all the Blizzard fans back to another product. I hope Blizzard has a strategy for how they're going to consolidate old servers, because I just feel like that's something that's going to happen with WoW Classic, but I don't know. Also, I would like to see WoW Classic progress like Burning Crusade and like Wrath of the Lich King, because I really think Wrath of the Lich King was like peak World of Warcraft, and I'd like to see it maybe progress to that point and then maybe be frozen in time there. But not everybody would agree with me. Some folks think it might be a little too easy mode at that point as well. I don't know. But I think it would be fun if I could take this character maybe a little bit further and still experience some of that WoW expansion stuff a little later on. But WoW Classic, I liked it more than I thought I would. And I think I understand a little more why people were into it. But I'm not sure. Like, it's neat that it's there. It's neat. That's it. And that's kind of like where it ends. I think, you know, it's not the MMO I'm going to play solely by any means. That's for sure. So anyway, looking at comments from chat, Bobby Blackwolf says, Rob tried the Valve Index. I did. I played Beat Saber on that device, and that was the one where, like, the little earpieces kind of float, and the sound on that was really good. And that control, like, playing Beat Saber on that felt a lot better than it does playing it on PlayStation 4.
Maybe that's what I played it on. I don't remember. It was a blue headset. I don't remember what that is.
Did it have little floating earbuds?
It did have the earbuds that, like, kind of slide or whatever, like the ear headphones almost.
Sounds like it, but I'm
maybe.
Bobby is better at telling all those things apart than I am. So, yeah. No, the one I played on was really nice. The controls were kind of neat, too.
It wasn't a Vive of some sort, so I don't know if it was, you know, the Index or if it was the HTC Vive or something like that. Mm-hmm. Vive Pro, I don't know, but it was nice.
Yeah. And Bobby says the HTC Vive Pro is blue.
So, maybe so that's probably the Vive Pro that I played on then.
Yeah. All right. But that was my gaming week. That's enough to talk. Oh, I'll mention one other thing. Harry Potter Wizards Unite. I'm still playing a little bit of that. And the reason why I brought it up is because they had the whole Day of the Dragons thing happened on Saturday. And as you know, as much as I understand there's some people that are like kind of over that game already because the tracing kind of gets repetitive, I will say the Day of the Dragons event they did was probably better than any Community Day event that they've done, because those dragons gave like big XP and you really felt, and then by collecting them, you were able to get a lot of scrolls. You were able to get a lot of, so I felt a lot of progression during that event. Whereas the last couple Community Day events I thought were kind of like, they weren't that great. So I will say, you know, game companies should get props and they do things well. So I thought that Dragon Day event was actually one of the better Harry Potter events. So I'm glad I got to spend a little time doing that. It just worked out that way. My my car was being worked on yesterday. So Alan came to get me and we went out to the Palladio out in Folsom. And we were because that's a good place for Pokemon Go and all that stuff too. So we were playing the Harry Potter game out there and able to do some shopping. So it was good. Before we get into the news tonight, I'll mention something a little bit on a personal note. Because I wasn't able to talk about this the last time we did a show, because we taped that show on a Thursday night to air that Sunday, right? Which, again, thanks to those of you guys that showed up or listened to the podcast or what have you, to 790, which we'd actually done a little bit in advance. So I have not been able to talk about that the day after we taped that show, I actually gave my 2 weeks' notice to my prior job because I am starting a new job on Monday. So that's my little kind of like personal thing. So that's also why I want to go shopping, because it's fun to start a new job and new clothes. So that was a big part of it. So I don't work in the gaming industry. I don't do anything related to gaming and gaming stuff. And I kind of like to keep my personal stuff private, just especially how volatile things on social media can be and things like that. I think I've said on the show before, I'm in the field of corporate training. Like, I teach people how to do their jobs and stuff like that. So I talk all day long as well as on Sunday nights, but obviously I try to keep my professional life, my personal life very separate. And I've been working in the health insurance industry for the past 18 years. So I'm not going to be working exactly that industry anymore. It's similar, but not the same. That's all I'm going to say about that. So it's kind of a big change for me. So I'm a little bit like, eek, but really excited about it. So, and thanks for, I post about it on Twitter and stuff. So thanks for all the kind words, but I wanted to say something about it here, cause it's going to be a big change. So there you go. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into some gaming news now that we're, you know, this far into the show here. Let's actually talk about some things that have gone on this week in the gaming world besides just the Nintendo Direct. But this one,
this is something we don't quite know all about yet,
right? And it wasn't part of the Nintendo Direct, obviously.
No, it wasn't.
Like a separate type of teaser, right?
So they had a teaser that it was for this new experience for Nintendo Switch, and it definitely looks like a sort of fitness style app or fitness thing that they're going to be offering for the Nintendo Switch, kind of like a Wii Fit type of thing. So what it includes is they basically have a strap for one of the Joy-Cons that goes around your leg, and then they have this kind of resistance, like, band circle thing that you kind of squeeze in. And I've actually seen something like that before, like some sort of fitness stuff. It's basically for resistance training or whatever, that you put the other Joy-Con in, and using that you do different, I think it guides you through different exercises and stuff like that, or different games. So it's right now it's a teaser, because we're going to get the full announcement on Thursday and figure out what's going on with it, but it looks interesting. More crap I get to have in my house for the Switch, but
is Thursday the same day Apple's doing their phone announcement, or is that Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Okay.
Tuesday is the press.
Because you know how sometimes Apple does their thing like the same day as E3, and it's kind of like, it's too much tech news today. Okay, so I'm glad they're on separate days next week. Sorry, I had to.
And then we have Tokyo Game Show later this week too. So
never mind.
That's the same day as the fitness stuff. You know.
Oh, so this is what Nintendo's doing instead, because we know Nintendo doesn't do Tokyo Game Show. So yeah. Maybe this is their way. Okay, interesting.
This is the way to sell the Switch units to your mom. To the moms out there.
I mean, I say that. If we want to go stereotypes, the soccer mom, sure. I mean, that made Wii
Fit. I only say that because I mean, that's what's pictured.
Sure, look what's highlighted in the
commercial. They also had, you know, stereotypical dads as well doing yoga. Ha ha, it's funny because uncoordinated dads trying to do yoga. Ha ha ha. Hilarious. No, but I guess we'll find out more about it. But yeah, it looks like they're going to try to do something similar to We Fit. Thank God I don't have to buy a balance board. Maybe it'll support the balance board because God knows it's just taking up space in my garage.
Why do we think they walked – well, I don't want to say walked away from WeFit, but why do we think – like assuming this is a fitness thing. I mean, it has to be, right?
Hello? It looks like a fitness thing.
Why are they shifting away from WeFit? Why not do a new version of WeFit? Because we know WeFit did
because I think WeFit, it was just basically a weight sensor, and so there wasn't necessarily much you could do with it aside from just kind of standing on it, and it detect your balance a little bit, but I think this, there's more exercises that you could do and with the sensor positioning with the two different Joy-Cons. I think there's more that they can capture as far as like what you're doing. I don't know. It's also smaller because I know the Wii Fit balance board was just this monstrous thing that would take up a ton of space.
I think that also might be it. I think they might be tapping into one of the key features of the Switch is that it's portable. And so this resistance thing kind of looks like it might untie somehow or unclamp or whatever it holds it together and maybe ends up being very portable. And obviously that thing that goes around the leg is going to be very portable as well. So they've come up with some type of solution that is portable as well as the Switch. And I think that's very important, certainly. I mean, as much as I'm like, oh, it'd be nice if they would reuse some old technology, maybe, I can see where the Wii balance board is hard to go in a suitcase.
Although, when I did see them, you know, squeezing the resistance band thing, like, rapidly or whatever, it just reminded me of the shake weight a little bit. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what it is.
Nifty805 in chat says, the Switch fitness thing might actually get me in shape for Pride season or not. Well, you got a good 10 months to go, but, you know.
How about get in shape for yourself?
Do something for yourself.
Do for you.
Screw those judgy hoes.
So they did have some other interesting things, though, with it. Since it is like a resistance band, they had something that looked like you were firing like bow and arrows. So you were like holding one end of it with your one hand, and the other end you're kind of pulling back, and there's a little bit of resistance that way.
So there might be some interesting like game experiences here that aren't just like, you know, Woohoo Island mini games. And you remember Woohoo Island was the Wii Fit and Wii Sports and all that, all those kind of that universe.
Yeah, so they show like it looks like they have like yoga stuff. They've got, you know, like some other movement things that they're doing, stretching.
Do you think the fact that they – okay, like look at the way this trailer is put together where they're like Madrid, Rome, Dallas, and they're highlighting all these cities. Do you think that maybe this like fitness around the world is a theme to what it is?
Maybe.
It's going to be like something around the world, Nintendo Fit World or something. I feel like there's a reason why they've built this the way that they did. I don't know. Maybe I'm tinfoil hatting a little bit, but I feel like something around like the whole world does this together is some sort of key thing about what the product is.
Maybe.
Anyway.
But yeah, it says we'll find out more September 12th. And of course, it is tied around Tokyo Game Show.
So by this time next week when we're on the show, we'll know a little more about what this specifically is. So we'll talk more about it then. Let's say Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, my wife immediately said, now we got to buy another dock so we can put it in our workout room, which is where our Wii is hooked up for Wii Fit and EA Active, which still get played. SG100 Matt says, my girlfriend hasn't seen this device yet, but I'm sure when she does, she'll get it as well. Questbuster says, oh, I like this comment a lot. Questbuster says, it looks like it could be something useful for hospitals too, like physical rehab. And remember how we used to have all those stories about, you know, the senior citizens home does Wii Fit bowling Nintendo Wii bowling tournaments. And I'm sure when Wii Fit was out, that kind of got coverage in some of those as well.
Or what they'll say is like, you know what? The average adult working at a very sedentary job, guess what? You can bring your Nintendo Switch with you and you can do a workout on your break. Just a really quick, you know, office workout to kind of stretch out and do all that little like. I can see them
work out wherever you go. Yeah. That's it. It's because of all these. It's work out wherever you go. That's going to be the theme.
Yes.
What, Mark? We're gonna play that clip back. Clip it and play it back in a week. That's going to be what it is. It's good. That's work out wherever you go. No matter wherever in the world you are, you've got this. You can, you've got time. You can work out. You've got a gym with you. That's what it's going to be.
But I wonder if WERK workout.
I wonder if they'll like tie it in with a phone app or something like that.
Honestly, Dark Sakura, like, wouldn't that be the better marketing campaign? Is for like just Michelle Visage to pop out of the corner and go, "You better work." I'd be all about that.
I know, but she, and but then she would go back and say, "And stop relying on that body, yaddy yaddy."
All right. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, the reason they showed Greece is because it's going to be an Olympic event. Well, aren't the next Olympics in Paris? Well, Tokyo. No, Tokyo's 2020. My bad. Tokyo's 2020. Paris is 2024. So, and then did L.A. finally get a Games? I feel like that's a thing. Like 2028, L.A. finally has one. I don't.
Maybe.
I say finally. They were there in like 1984. But how long ago was that, right? It's been a little while. So, anyway. All right, moving on. Let's get into another story. So we already kind of touched on that thing I was going to talk about with the NES and SNES updates.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. We talked about it. So we can change up the order when we want, Loki. It's okay.
All right.
So we'll move on to Dark Sakura, who has something about a game I was talking about.
I was buying
a
webcam. Sorry.
just now you bought a webcam?
No. I'm actually going to get one on Wish.
Okay.
Because I've gotten tripods and things on Wish. I've bought wigs. I bought a wig stand. Like, I'll see what a $5 webcam is going to do. It's $5. That's, what, 3 tacos?
Mm-hmm.
Depending. Maybe 2 if you go to a good place.
You'll just get a PlayStation Eye.
If you go to the taco place Alan and I went to for brunch, the Palladio is be a taco and a half, if that.
We do still have our, what was the Xbox one?
The vision camera or the Kinect?
The Kinect. We still have a Kinect somewhere in a box.
I will say this really quickly before you get to the story. Speaking of like upgrades and things we want to do, you and I getting mic stands for these things to cut out, because like I did not realize how bad the shaky shake noise is when we pick up and put down these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad, like, because these things are sensitive, and I've tried doing some rebalancing. It's not working. But if you and I had stands, I think it would get rid of a lot of that. So,
shopping trip on Thursday?
No, because I have the new job in orientation. Right. Yeah, but
shopping trick next week.
The goal. I'm gonna set a realistic goal before episode 800.
Mm.
We're gonna make some big changes to OLR because I've got other stuff on my brain too that I didn't talk to you guys about. But like, okay. not bad or anything. Just, you know, change is good. We're gonna zhuzh it up. We're just gonna zhuzh it up a little around here. That's all.
I'm giving Rob the scrunch face.
You'll like it, I think.
That's what they.
What
said.
If I said it's less work for you?
I like work.
Okay. Well, good. You can.
I'll do more.
Good. You can go. You can get me my B-roll every week.
Girl.
Hey, I provided B-roll this week.
You did. Look, Loki did provide B-roll this week. We just haven't got to it
yet. Just do B-rolls of me playing The Sims.
All right. Moving on.
Like, look at this bitch. This bitch needs like a butt. Anyway, World of Warcraft Classic. I have nightmares, though, about fucking World of Warcraft, the old days when you had to level up everything. Oh, my God. Anyway, they were actually, though, getting DDoS attacks. It started happening around 11 a.m. I'm trying to get the date on this one. Yesterday? A couple of days ago? No, September 7th. So it was, that was yesterday for us. At any rate, there was... it looks like they might have narrowed it down to who did it. It was at UK Drillis, which, I mean, whatever. I'm sure you now think you've got the biggest dick in the world, but really it's just the one that shoved up your own ass. I don't know. That's not really a real dick. Anyway. I mean, if you're into that, some people could use it. But anyway, moving forward. At any rate, they put up a post saying that about every 20 to 30 minutes, they were going to attack the US PvP WoW server. And so the servers did go down. They posted more as the day went on. But Blizzard did post that as of yesterday at 6:10 p.m., doesn't say what time zone, that all the WoW realms except Rattlegore were back online and stable. And that they are continuing to investigate, and they have some players that might still experience persistent login issues until the maintenance finishes. But yeah, because somebody is uppity and trying to be a shit. Stop being a shit.
It hasn't affected me on Classic WoW for what it's worth, but I'm not on a PvP server. Old Blanchie's PvE. I'm not playing. I'm not going to level a fucking priest, an alliance priest on a PvP server. Are you fucking kidding me? That is hard mode, boys and girls. Level a priest on a PvP server.
You know what?
What?
I've done it.
How far? You didn't get to 60.
Actually, yeah, I did. It was when I was playing with what's
I'm armoring that fucking character right now. What was the name? When? Fuck. Where? How? What?
No, because I deleted him. No, I didn't get it to 60. I got it to 45.
And okay, that's pretty good.
And it was when I was playing on one of my coworkers wanted me to play on their server. God, I hardly remember all of my characters' names because how many fucking characters did I have?
I only remember Rebecca Black, your paladin.
You remember Irissa?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My goat.
Not until you said, how can I forget Rebecca Black?
But Rebecca Black was the best.
Think about Rebecca Black's probably like fucking 21 at this point.
I have that screenshot. No, she's older than that. She actually did another song, too. But I had a screenshot of some dude following me around in, what was that place in Outworld or Outland or whatever.
The bear. Oh.
That was really pretty.
Negrand.
Negrand, yeah. Follow me around Negrand, making up lyrics to Friday, following my character around. And I have screenshots of it. But anyway.
SSG100 Matt says, Rob is demanding receipts.
I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Don't gatekeep me. You know, that actually, I'll bring this up as a later topic, but this a big con thing is that when a woman dresses as a geeky character, you know, either in a video game or from a comic book, then some dude's going to pop out of the bushes. Even if it's inside the hotel, a bush will appear and some gatekeeping bro dude is going to pop out quizzing this woman on everything she fucking knows about the game.
Should I be concerned that Mr. Smush just walked in here? And I think Mr. Smush has this look on his face of, well, actually.
Mr. Smush is not a gatekeeping bro dude.
Not all cats.
And I want to encourage every woman listening right now, if some guy comes up to you at a con and does that, just say, I don't got shit to prove to you. Do it. We don't have to defend ourselves. Anyway.
Can I say on the whole, like, you know, I don't know, a stereotypical gender thing, can I mention one thing about Dragon Con? No, I think this is a good thing. Yeah. It's a very good thing. Is that, you know, a lot of times women who wear costumes that are revealing mm-hmm. are branded slutatious or whatever you want to say. We all know that's crap. Well, right? I'm not mm-hmm. saying I support that. But I'm very impressed and happy mm-hmm. to see that more men and a lot, like, just even in the 7 years I've been going to Dragon Con, mm-hmm. like, this year at Dragon Con, the men are fully participating on a similar level at this
cool.
point. We have, like, it started with Final Fantasy 14 armor, and we're seeing it play out in person
the
at
the leather
Dragon
underwear?
Con. Yes, the men can be just as slutatious or whatever.
Yeah, this show is really what it sponsored is. By Subligar.
Out of curiosity, did you see a gender-bent Winter Soldier?
Do you know how many fucking costumes I saw last
week?
Well,
weekend? I'm just saying because one of my favorite podcasters was cosplaying at Dragon Con with that costume.
Here's the problem, Darsagra. I'm pretty sure I did, but more than one. So,
well, I just want to say if it ever gets back, shout out to Annie at Stuff Mom Never Told You. I love having other podcasting women who cosplay.
Do you know who else was there cosplaying, just fully out, walking the convention, but in full cosplay so nobody knew who he was? T-Pain was
oh,
there.
Yeah, he had the – he put the costume up of the
he was
Leroy – what's his face?
He was a Tekken character. Yeah, Leroy from Tekken. So, yeah, and, like, yeah, I love that. Like, and Jamie Lee Curtis does the same thing at BlizzCon, but she does the full-on mask because, like, you know, mm-hmm. nobody – he had, like, makeup and was very, like, made over, so you can – and I – you know, I don't know. Like, the last time I remember seeing T-Pain, he was on that show with all the costumes anyway. He won that show with the mask singer. Mm-hmm. He won that because, like, T-Pain can fucking sing.
Yeah.
Have you heard T-Pain – like, I know people, like, give him shit for the whole auto-tune because, like, he kind of brought that
pipes.
Into – he can fucking sing. That was impressive. Anyway.
But anyway, I know that went from wow, but just, like, I'm kind of on this, like, hair trigger now because I've been trying to get my stuff back together to start cosplaying again. And it happens online. It happens in person. It's just bullshit.
You know what's interesting is I was on a panel. It was, I think, the Twitch 102 panel. And we had a very high-level cosplayer on that panel on the Twitch 102. She actually won the cosplay thing at the last TwitchCon. She's very good at what she does. And I remember making a comment about how one of my friends said Dragon Con is kind of like the Super Bowl of cosplay. And she said, in her opinion, she kind of felt KatsuCon was the Super Bowl of cosplay.
Yeah.
Because she thought Dragon Con was kind of like an everybody can do cosplay sort of thing, whereas like I don't think she meant it in a way like that. Like, I know when I repeat it, it makes it sound like, oh, Dragon Con is like the amateurs and KatsuCon's a pro. She didn't mean it like that.
Dragon
at all.
Con's more like the but buffet.
I think it is that, like, at Dragon Con, it's like, no, you fucking cosplay no matter how good or bad you are. You just fucking put on a costume and have fun and go to it. Whereas I think maybe like KatsuCon, probably just because KatsuCon has more, and I think I can totally see her comment in context of, like, the Masquerade.
Well, it surpassed Anime Expo for anime costumes.
Yeah, the Masquerade at Dragon Con is, like, we watch it and drink and make fun of it, okay? It's not – yeah. I think if you compare the two Masquerades, then her comment makes complete sense in that context. Mm-hmm. Because it's the Masquerade there, and probably KatsuCon's Masquerade. Grant, I haven't been to KatsuCon since they – they used to be at a different hotel in D.C. They're at the Gaylord.
So the last cosplay contest I was in was hosted by Trixie Mattel.
Yeah, it's been a while.
With my my Grey Warden.
So anyway, but my point is, Dark Sakura, this whole like cosplay thing, I know it's a long way to go, but I also know you miss the South sometimes. You got to come to Dragon Con some year.
Well, the next year, you know what I'm doing when Dragon Con's going on? It's the same weekend as my anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
So Dan and I are going to New Orleans.
Okay, fair.
I mean, I could try to say you want to go to Dragon Con and then go to New Orleans.
Hey, but, you're going to get snow.
But no, we have the plan. Next year's 15. We're going to go to New Orleans and hang out in Jackson Square for a bit and then go visit the family in Mobile. So.
All right.
Maybe. Are they still doing MobyCon? I have to find out they're still doing MobyCon because I would go back to that. Right, love the small conventions.
Yeah, S200 Matt says swing both. I did North Carolina and Atlanta one trip. Granted, I was gone forever. I feel like I aged while I was gone, but I had a great time. Time of my life. Anyway, the little bar says we're still talking about World of Warcraft. Clearly, that's a lie. So let's level set with our next story, Loki.
Yes. Let's talk about Steam and how they're making some changes. So there was some... I want to say this is stuff that they had, like, mock-ups that leaked out or whatever, but then they also had these, like, beta programs that you can go into. So now there's going to be a whole new change to your library that's going to have lots more pictures and stuff. So they're going to have it, you know, basically showing different activity with recent games you played, new games that are out, games that your friends are playing, and other categories as well. So that's kind of cool. So... with that, they also have, like, there'll be stuff that's populated based on what developers and friends are up to. They've got different collections that you can drop your games into to kind of organize them. I'm hoping that there's a, well, maybe it might not be helpful with games you haven't played yet, because that's going to be most of my library. But yeah, a lot more content. It's definitely going to be looking... more updated. Now, when this is actually going to go into place, I'm not really sure, but I know that they had some more stuff that I think there's part of that Steam Labs stuff that they're going to start incorporating into it as well. But it looks interesting. I'm looking forward to a refresh of my Steam library, because it's kind of been looking
Steam has kind of had the same look for a very long time.
Yes.
So I'm kind of happy that they're going to, you know, kind of reapproach it and make some changes and kind of freshen up the way your game library looks. Like, it's time to kind of take another approach. I mean, it's kind of a bummer it's not the store, because I feel like the store is just like a bleh, like, we have games. Like, it's just like this big, like, barf of games all over, and yes. It's hard to find really anything. And, like, they try to make it, like, custom to, like, because you play this, you'd be into this. But it's like, I feel like there really needs to be a switch, because sometimes I don't want you to tell me what you think I'd like. I want to see, like, what is everybody else playing or what's the featured thing? What's the new indie hotness? Those types of things. And I feel like the way the Steam store is right now is kind of a mess. But I'm glad they're going to, like, update the library a little bit.
I think that might have to do with, like, the what's new stuff. So it looks like the what's new is kind of covering, you know, different games that you may have had updates to them. So, I don't know. It looks interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, we have another – our next story is also about Steam. This one comes to us from Discord, from our user on Discord, 13xForever, sent us an FYI on Discord. By the way, if you want to join the VOG Network Discord, you sure can. VOGnetwork.com, VOGnetwork.com/Discord is the place to get an invite. And we do want to work in more story submissions from Discord. I've already kind of been using them in, like, thinking about what to plan out for the show, but I haven't been very good at saying – this person submitted this and wants us to talk about it. So I'm going to be better about that in the future. So I have two Discord stories tonight. This is the first because this is, it's not really a story. It's a tweet, but it's a tweet worth talking about. So 13xForever linked us this tweet from a Twitter user named Watsu_Watsu, who said Steam is changing their contract to guarantee devs will release their games alongside other PC platforms because people were pulling out to Epic Games Store while still using the Steam page and forums to communicate with players because EGS has none of those, LMAO. That's the tweet from Watson.
That is kind of lame.
That is super lame, and it's one of those things where I'm like, wow. And super lame that Epic doesn't have that and that developers are doing that. Like, I actually think Steam is totally...
It's gaming.
This is business.
You want all of this. Well, then you got to go full.
Right.
That you have to take that with knowing that you're not going to have this and this and this feature. So you got to weigh that.
I think this is a great – with as much shit as I've given Steam over the years, rightfully so in my opinion, this is a good like moving the chess piece in another direction type of thing to balance some of like all these devs, you know, taking the oodles and oodles of money that the Epic Store is offering them and then like turning around and using the Steam forums for support. I'm sorry, that is pretty fucking
maybe
bold.
Instead of paying for a lot of money for all these Epic exclusives that are these big AAA titles, you could, I don't know, put that money into developing these features.
Yeah. Well, let me just read the passage. So Watsu, and again, I read a tweet from Watsu. I don't want to own those words. Watsu wrote that tweet and deserves the credit. But in the tweet, there's a screenshot of the updated passage from the Steam distribution agreement under Valve. So it reads like this. Where's our lawyers in the house? Any lawyers in the house? Okay, how many of you watch a lot of Law and Order at least? All right, anyway. Here it is, the legalese from the Steam distribution agreement. 2.1 delivery. Company shall submit the applications to Steam for release no later than the first commercial release of each application or localized version, or, if already commercially released, as of the effective date, within 30 days of the effective date. Thereafter, company shall submit to Steam any localized version and application updates in beta and final form when available, but in no event later than they are provided to any other third party for commercial release. Company shall provide these copies in object code form in whatever format Valve reasonably requests. So, it's kind of one of those, if you're going to update on these other platforms, you're basically agreeing you're going to update on ours as well. So you can't just yank off the store and now go release on the Epic Store because they're throwing money at you. I think that's a pretty interesting thing they're doing.
Like, it don't work that way.
Yeah. So Valve putting the fist down on that. So we'll see what their next move ends up being after this.
It's basically the guarantee of don't be a dick.
Well, but is taking money that someone is throwing at you being a dick? I mean,
but manipulating, you know, it's like when you break up with somebody, but you date other people, but you still live with them. Make sense?
Yes.
It's really, really dickly.
I think it's less like targeted devs themselves and more of like, hey, listen, Epic Games, you can't just lean on our features that we have, like our forums and stuff, just because you're not, you know, you can't just like, oh, hey, we're going to offer you guys money to come to our platform. But if you want, you know, all that stuff, you can just use the Steam forums for that, you know, because we just haven't built it yet, or we haven't built a shopping cart yet or anything else. You can't lean on them for that stuff. You got to develop your own stuff if you want this platform to be successful.
Can we do things a little out of order here, actually? Because the next logical follow-up to this, that I think now that this is playing out live, I think we have to go to your next story, Loki.
Absolutely.
And talk about this. So I'm going to jump to – we'll come back to what you had, Dark Soccer, but because this is like a super logical follow-up to this story.
So speaking of Epic Games, so they've had to change their roadmap a little bit because apparently they haven't hit some of their promises, their targets that they had put out there. So, for example, they had actually promised to do a few things. So one of those was they had a public Trello board that showcased their roadmap of different features that were coming out. And with that, they had to actually change some things. So the Trello roadmap is not fulfilling the goal we had set when we had introduced it. The goal with the Trello roadmap is to provide visibility to the development cycle for the store's more player-centric feature set. While it's accomplished that to some degree, we have missed the mark accurately displaying that timeline for feature delivery. We regularly delay features, feature releases due to shifting priorities and need for further iteration. We're always focusing on improving, and we believe that Trello can be improved as well. So apparently, though, they've had like some stuff missed from that. So big items that are on their future development include wish lists, a shopping cart, automated refunds, gifting, achievements, and user reviews. Kind of, you know, the bare bones functionality for a storefront.
Well, I'd be curious which of these things happened first. I mean, I'm sure we could look at the dates or whatever, but it is very interesting that this is happening around the same time as Steam makes this counter move, because it's almost like Epic is missing these marks, and now Steam is putting their iron fist down saying, well, you're not going to be using us as your Band-Aid for this. If you can't deliver on this to your people, then fuck off type of thing. You know, that's kind of like what I'm getting from it. I'm not saying one led to the other or what have you, but it's just, you know, it is interesting that these are timed right around the same week, you know?
Yeah. So some things that they're talking about, like, I'm looking at their like development and stuff that they've got. So stuff that they've said they've recently shipped, they've had improved patch sizes, the store page redesign, store video hosting, Humble Bundle integration. That's pretty much it. Up next, they have it says Ubisoft titles require large installs, library list view, player playtime tracking, storefront discovery. I mean, I don't know. There's not a lot of stuff on their storefront. Curated collections, trending, price protection, mod support for games. Stuff that's still out there in future development. You know, of course, we mentioned the wish list, shopping cart, automated refunds, gifting, social overall, direct carrier billing, achievements, additional payment methods. Just like, I don't know. It's very bare bones right now, but I get it. You know, like developers are getting more money, and where that is, you know, it is a good thing for smaller developers. You know, you also have to weigh in the fact that, you know, there's a lot of community features that are built into the Steam storefront. Maybe you might have to supplement that with something else in the meantime if you're going exclusively with Epic Games.
Some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Kaijudo says, Epic isn't leaning on Steam. It's for devs that want to be shady. I suppose that is a true point, that this isn't so much about the fact that, like, you know, Epic is not telling people to use Steam as a Band-Aid. The reality is the devs are using Steam as a Band-Aid because they want the best of both worlds. They want to be able to have that user interaction and take the check from Epic Games for being exclusive on their store. So it would be unfair to fault Steam, or excuse me, to fault Epic for that.
Right.
It is the dev's choice to do that. But I think Steam is just putting up this wall saying, you go to the Epic store, you don't get to have your cake and pie. You don't get to have both.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. You can be on both stores. You just can't be exclusive to the Epic and take all that money. Anyway, another quick little item here, and then we'll move on to our next story, but a comment from chat I wanted to address is that She-Hulk10 in chat says, rapid fire news, Gears 5 released, broken, the worst I've ever seen. Oh, dear. I was watching a friend stream that. Somebody I follow on Twitch was streaming it earlier. It looked kind of neat. I have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate thing, so I meant to download and play, but it's just, you know, with starting a new job on Monday and everything and all the traveling I've been doing, I haven't really had a chance to sit down and play it yet, but I hope to in the next week. I'm hoping I can sit down and play some Gears. That's a bummer if it's super broken, though. I haven't heard a lot of the outcry.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything necessarily. Yeah. But I'm not a fan of Gears, so. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't really given a shit.
If you have Games Pass, though, I mean, it's good. Check it out.
I haven't really been big on Gears in a long time either, but when
I've heard good reviews for it, though.
Yeah, when I was watching this person play on Twitch, I was like, I might try this out. Like, I'd be into this. So, yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. So we're going to go to a story that Dark Soccer had for us about phones.
I did. So, you know, Sony is still in the phone business. Their Xperia 5 is going to be supporting the PS4's DualShock controller. So you can actually game with a legit controller on their phone. I mean, I still don't know why someone would do that because it's still kind of a small screen.
Emulators.
Wanting to be a Switch, I don't know. But, I mean, it's going to have DualShock support. They were, and they also announced that it's eventually going to be coming to down all the way to the Xperia 1. So it looks like they're going to make that retroactively, I guess, go in there. So it will also work with Fortnite. So they're going to have it go out to a bunch of other games, though, that operate in a mobile space.
Oh, that actually says a lot right there because
Fortnite was the big one they mentioned.
Yeah, one thing I learned doing that Battle Royale panel with Bobby, Bobby talks about that on his show, so I won't repeat it too much. That you can go download Bobby's show if you want to check that out. But we talked a little bit about how I pinch hit on a Battle Royale panel at a Dragon Con. And one thing I kind of learned from the audience about that panel is that there are some people that wouldn't be playing Battle Royale games if it weren't for the fact that Fortnite was such a huge mobile release. That, you know, not everybody has a console or access to a console. So the fact that it was on the mobile phone was a big deal for some people. So actually, I think when we talk about why do we need a controller on the phone, you telling me that I can play Fortnite on my mobile phone now with a controller as opposed to those touchscreen controls, ooh, that's a big deal, I think.
I've seen a lot of people different places – I mean, playing on their phones, so... But still, I mean, I don't know. It just seems a little bit of overkill. I don't know how one would set that up, but if they want it, whatever. More power to them.
Bobby points out that you can use your Xbox One controller with your Android phone for Xbox. Tiger Claw says some games on mobile let you use USB controllers like DuckTales Remastered. So
I mean, my SteelSeries controller will play with my iPhone and my iPad.
Yeah, and I have that Bluetooth iCade thing that you can put. My old iPad goes in there. You can play some of the arcade.
You know
games.
How many times I've used that feature?
Yeah,
exactly once, just to see what it was like, and I was like, eh, "This is stupid." I use that controller on my Apple TV.
I thought that iCade thing was pretty fun. It's just now
that was fun, but
my iPad's kind of dated now. It was the new iPad, iPad 3, the new iPad. So yeah,
well, and on top of that, it has to have that particular dock.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because they're all Lightning now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's that was the old school.
But I'm
plug.
Sure that there's like some kind of mod or converter or something. I gave my mother my old iPad.
Yeah.
Dan's won't work with it.
Fair enough. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk a little bit about Uplay Plus, because, you know, a lot of these companies are starting to release their own premium gaming services, and Ubisoft is one of them as well. Ubisoft mentioned at E3 in June that they were going to start their own gaming subscription service, and that gaming subscription service is now here. Windows PC users can now subscribe to Uplay Plus to play a library of more than 100 Ubisoft games, including games like Far Cry, Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, Rayman. Subscribers will have access to these premium editions, and you get included in beta and early access programs, including Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which just started on September 5th, and the opportunity to play the Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint Ultimate Edition on October 1st with 3-day early access. So doing a lot of that stuff that EA is doing, basically. The service will cost $15 a month, but here's where the news comes in, really, is that if you want, there's a free trial. So they're just opening it up to everybody from September 3rd to September 30th. So if you want to get it, if you're a free games person, Metal Mayhem is probably out there. You can play this whole thing. It's uplayplus.com. But I imagine there's a trick to it. I haven't signed up myself yet, but almost always when I hear about a free trial deal like this, you have to give them your credit card information. And if you forget to cancel, guess what happens October 1st? Yep, you're going to get charged. As is going to happen. So just keep that in mind if you do decide to sign up for the free trial. But hey, it is still a free trial if you remember to cancel. So, all right. That's Uplay Plus. Well, let's travel back. Let's go back to a simpler time. We're going to go back to a simpler time when there was no gaming subscription service. There was Blockbuster if you wanted to go rent a game.
This predates Teleview.
This is a classic game. But that's because once a month you actually like to go way back and visit a soundtrack that you actually think. It's the 2019 twist. You once a month, instead of spotlighting a game, you may pick a game you've done before, which I think is the case tonight. But instead it's like, oh, no, we got to talk about the soundtrack. And I totally know why you picked tonight's game. So let's get to it.
All right. So tonight's game in Japan was known as Akumajo Densetsu, which, you know, we got as Castlevania 3. And the music in this one, like, and I picked this particular piece of music if we can play the very beginning of the level.
The timestamp was here, so the intro, and then I did the whole take out the and put the actual, like, stereo mix music here to take out the game noises.
Okay. But
I verify it is the Famicom, because I know there's a big difference.
Oh, no, the Famicom disc.
Right, yes.
Not Famicom disc, sorry, yeah. But there's two different things about this one anyway. So basically, the Japanese version of this game had a VRC6 coprocessor chip that was actually partially created by the game's audio programmer, Maezawa Hidenori. Has two extra pulse wave channels and a salt wave channel that adds to the system's initial set of five sound channels. So basically, it's going to put out more sound. It's got better audio quality. And but the US NES did not have the ability to support those external sound chips. So it replaced that with the memory management controller 5, the MMC5, that just wasn't anywhere near. So basically, this version of the game has far better music than we got here in the United States. It was epically stellar.
It's not to say that the soundtrack here was bad, but it's just like, imagine a yummy piece of cake, and then you put, like, ice cream on top of the cake.
Or, more relevant, think of the Sega Master System with the FM chip.
Mm.
So, I mean,
I just wanted to think about cake.
Or listening to a mono CD and suddenly being able to listen to it in stereo. Same. But yeah, but I like cake. Cake sounds good. Anyway, that is really the biggest reason that I wanted to highlight this. And I also do want to think that the Switch version that we got, the Famicom version was made available on the Switch as an update to the collection that came out. So you can now experience this beauty without having to import anything. But a little bit more about the music for Castlevania 3. It was composed by Maezawa Hidenori. Also by Funahashi Jun and Morimoto Yukie. And again, the sound chip was the Konami VRC 6. And the good thing about, you know, this as well is that because this was considered so iconic, we actually now have, like, multiple releases of the soundtrack for this, including a vinyl. So this, I do also believe, is the first game that had the song Beginning in it, which has become one of the staples of the Castlevania series. The songs Mad Forest and Prelude have been used in other titles as well. The other thing that, you know, because I also like to bring up things that the sound designers have also created for other games. Maezawa has done Parodius for MSX, Gradius and Salamander. He did Daytona Twinbee, I mean, it's Konami, Zexus, Contra Spirits, Konami All-Stars 1993. I'm just going through, you know, a bunch of more Parodius, more Twinbee. I'm trying to find some more recent stuff. Because He also did music for a couple of live concerts as well, for Coda Marico. Also, let's see where the recent stuff is. So Suikoden, a little bit more recent. What? What were you laughing about?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. East Arc of Napishtim. I always mispronounce that one anyway. Sora Tokazi no Kimi Toboku. He did that one. Just looking through the list on here. Contra as of late, and worked on remastering for the Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse vinyl release. So, and the Girlfriend Beta character song series. So anyway, he's done a lot of the staples here in the, a lot of Konami games and other projects. But at any rate, this is, to some people, a lot of the pinnacle of the Castlevania series, If you're going to go with, the 8-bit era, there's people who will argue that Super Castlevania 4 is the best of the series. I think you're lying because it's Rondo of Blood. But here we go. This is still considered, one of the best video game soundtracks ever.
And really, just to, reiterate something you said a moment ago about the whole, Castlevania collection, there is a way you can play this in its intended form with that glorious Famicom disc soundtrack, right now on the Switch, and it is through that collection. And, I know you're spotlighting this game, but just to kind of take an aside, there's other Famicom disc games that had better soundtracks thanks to that chip. Namely, The Legend of Zelda and Metroid are two that, come to mind. And you can even play, if you have that Nintendo Online subscription, I've done live streams of this, and I think I did it as a break segment early on. I think we've talked about it, is that you can go play those on the Famicom. You just create a Japanese account on your Switch, you go download the Famicom, and it still works as long as you have a Nintendo Online subscription in any country. And you can actually play the Famicom version of Zelda or Metroid. And you can see Metroid with save files instead of passwords and with that extra chip. Now, Castlevania isn't in that collection. You'll have to buy Konami's collection separately to hear that, but it's still really cool.
That's it.
All right. There it is. Your classic soundtrack.
Go play it, but not right now.
Yeah, go play it, but not right now. Put it on hold to go play a little later on. All right. Great pick. We are going to move on with our show. And we're going to actually go over to Loki, because Loki, so you took a video that we're going to play here as our break. We're not going to be able to play this on the podcast because you just have video with music playing over it.
Yeah.
So it's not really going to work for the podcast because there's not a lot for the podcast to just listen to. But I still want you to talk about where you were at and what you saw and kind of set this up for us. It's 4.5-minute video we're going
to
look at.
Yeah, so I went to a thing called the Capital Creative Showcase. You may remember in the past we've done an event called the Sacramento Indie Arcade. So that's what this has become, is this new showcase, because now it's no longer the Sacramento chapter of the IGDA. It's now the
Game Dev Association.
Yeah, now it's the Sacramento Development.
It's the Indie Collective or something like that, isn't it?
Sacramento Developer Collective is what it's now called, the SDC. So it's their new event, and this was put on by sponsored by Capital Games, the EA company there. So it's a bunch of indie developers showing off stuff. So they've got this. The SDC does a thing called the Progressive Game Jam. So they have, six teams or so that will do work on a game over the course of a few months every Saturday for a few hours. And so they're showing off their progress on their games, as well as other local developers in the area showing off what they're working on. And then there's also, artists, and they have local businesses. So, there was a VR experience company that you can go in there and rent time at one of their booths with high-end VR stuff and play games. That's where I played the Beat Saber in. So I took some video of that because I took my kids, because my oldest son, he's doing a coding class, and I thought, hey, it would be kind of cool to get him kind of excited about game development and show what other kids are working on as well as adults, hey, look, see, this is what you can be doing and stuff like that.
Did they have local gaming media and Twitch streamers and stuff there too?
Well, you see, they did invite the number one podcast, the gaming podcast of the Sacramento area there.
Oh.
So
oh,
No,
okay.
I'm just kidding. No. I did talk to Corey over at
But the banner still says that, doesn't it?
Video Game Bang, yeah.
Doesn't the banner still say that?
I don't remember. I didn't notice.
I think I saw a picture. I think it still says that. That's right.
That's fine. I'm gonna give them crap, but
it's fine.
So they have them. The theme this year was women in gaming, so they had like a bunch of panels at their Black Box Theater. I didn't take any of my kids to that because they would not have behaved.
I was just asking because I noted that I can't help but notice. I guess our invite was lost somewhere. I don't know what happened with
it.
That
was a much smaller event this year, so I don't know if they had their.
I have to give a little. I was just so surprised to come back from my trip. This is happening.
Yeah, I didn't get to run into Gabriel or Brianna. So I didn't get to run into either of them because they were gone. But yeah,
I hope they had a great event. I'm just being saucy. I hope they legit had a great event. I'm sad I missed it. I would have just gone. Like once you told me about it, I was like, oh, I should go. But like literally the worst weekend you could possibly pick with me having just been out of town and starting a new job. So but next time we'd love to help out again. Just you know where to find us. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm glad at least you got to go and take the kids. I mean, that's even better that you get to.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to go, but thankfully we had plans canceled at the last minute, so I was able to take them for a couple hours and go check out what they had there. Like I said, I didn't get to check out any of the speakers, but they had a lot of like they had a female Twitch streamers, they had game developers, different business entrepreneurs in the area. They had while we were there, they had other like there was a Twitch streamer streaming stuff as well. So it's definitely low key, but I got to play everything. I didn't get to film everything, but I played pretty much all of the games that were there. So we'll talk a little bit about those.
I think low key cons are great. Not low key cons, but low key conventions are great too. They're some of my favorite to go to.
I would go to low key con though. Just saying.
Me too.
But no, the smaller conventions are awesome. Even that year, it was. Remember the first year we went to the showcase, and it was in that the Colony thing where they do the punk.
Yeah,
show?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like one room. It was like a real tight fit. Yeah. But that was a great. It was fun.
It was.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So are we just gonna play this? Oh, they got a little program.
Yeah, they had a program with a map and everything. So that reminds me, so I can talk about different things. So some of the things that aren't featured in there.
I just want to see who is there.
So they had this one game. They had like not only are there like video games there, but there's also like board games. So that one of the guys that actually did a video game that I did film in here, he's working on a board game right now called Bike Route Sacramento. So he's got that, which he's looking to release pretty soon. They had actually like a developer of some middleware stuff that was there. EA Capital Games was there as well. They were showing off some stuff. I think also recruiting and whatnot. Like I said, I got to play a robot dating sim, which was kind of cool. So they had that there. There was this one game I played that was kind of a cross between a match three and kind of like an idle clicker type thing. So you had this miner guy who was, mining a cave, and then he would be knocking out gems that would end up in your match three stuff. And then you use the match three stuff, matching gems gets you gold, which you use to upgrade your miner and do all that. So there, that was kind of cool, the back and forth mobile game that they're going to be putting out at some point. But yeah, so we can show the video, and then maybe I don't know if I can talk a little bit more about like what's in the video as well.
Yes, of course, let's do that. So for the podcast listeners though, we're going to do a little fast forward here, but for those of you that are watching live at Twitch TV, here is some of the footage that was shot from the Capital Creative Showcase that Loki attended over this last weekend. Roll it. So we're back after looking at the Capital Creative Showcase and some of the games that you saw around there. So, and those are your kids playing the games.
Those are my kids. Yeah. So like
that was a little treat for our Twitch people, because I don't know if they've ever like your kids. One of your kids has been on the show, but that was when before we were on Twitch.
So there was like some of their favorite games. That Luminous Flux was the last one that they showed. It was sort of. That's one of the progressive game jam games that they were working on. So that was it's like a described as a one-on-one like battle royale type game where you jump between planets and stuff. So it kind of has like a Mario Galaxy type feel to where you can like fly around. So and they were having fun just playing around with like the physics of it. There wasn't really a whole like game there, but they were kind of making their own fun with it. And then there was another one that was like a dodgeball game that's set on a planet.
I think that's what Kaijudo is asking about. What was that other game, Onion Head Dodgeball, from our chat?
I don't remember the name off the top of my head. It was on the video there, but it was I have to look up here. It was Fizzy Fuse Games was the one that they had like one of the three team members there, and she was like handing out her resume and stuff. But it was kind of a spherical dodgeball game, so you could actually get different power ups and stuff with the dodgeballs, and you're supposed to be fighting these two bots in there. So they had a lot of fun with it. Like they were just, you know.
Yeah, you were telling me that one of your kids like didn't really want to go, but then once he went, he was like, "It's fine."
Yeah, they just had like a blast playing that stuff.
That's how it usually goes.
So, and I know like the Luminous Flux stuff, like those teams, like they were pretty happy with like how excited my kids were getting, you know, about their games. I mean, that's got to feel good. Just
I think that is like the whole point of doing these types of things is to actually get to see people playing your game for the first time is a pretty big trip.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of cool stuff. The Lonely Zombie thing. I loved how they had their, you kind of saw it in the very beginning of the video. They had the whole booth set up, you know, with kind of this broken streetlight thing. And it was a pretty polished game. I liked checking it out. The one version I got to play, cause I was helping my youngest son play. You saw it in the beginning where he couldn't jump on the platforms or whatever, but they had like two different builds. So the one we played was like very early. Then the one that my other son was playing was like much more polished and finished. And it was pretty cool. I like to check it out. And then, there was one where he was spawning 1,000 bats. It wasn't his game. They were showing that some tools that they're making. So that was actually an in-game. They can play the game and edit the level in real time and like actually save the progress that they do and then change stats like of their players at the same time. In real time. So, like, if they wanted to say, okay, this power-up's going to make me jump, you know, this high, they can type it in and then start developing a level around that power-up or something like that and just change it in real time, which is really cool. So he's showing off that. There was some other stuff that we didn't see. There was a cube combat game. It didn't have a whole lot there yet. It was just basically movement. So kind of just showing the movement and testing some of the shooting and stuff. Very basic things, but it's kind of cool to see some of that stuff there. And like I said, I played a robot dating sim game that was kind of interesting. So, you know, not my usual cup of tea, but it was cool to see that there. And they had this weird golf game with this monster that would pick. You had to pick up the ball and run around while these worms were chasing after you. I didn't really see how that was golf, but it was something that was there. And then
can't be any worse than Ninja Golf.
And then, yeah, they just had like a bunch of cool stuff there. So it was really fun, like, to do that. I would love to just be actually there displaying my games at some point. So I would love to do that. And one of the things that they have with the SCC is you can actually become a member and stuff. So you pay like a membership of $50 a year or whatever. And with that comes like free booth space if you want. Although I think if you want like a really tiny booth, they don't really charge you for it. But, that might be something worthwhile. They're also going to do another.
Could we share the space and promote Sacramento's number two podcast?
We could actually pick up. Booth space isn't really that expensive, so we could do that. And then they also have.
Yeah, I think there's like now that we have there's like a budget and stuff for sponsorship now. I have to like ask questions.
Okay,
about
well,
that.
Anyways,
no, it's pretty. Yeah.
I mean, small spaces, but I'm sure we can swing it, and I'm sure we could talk to them and swing it, but. They're also doing a SAC Gamer Expo that's in December that they're also going to have some developers there as well. And they're
Is that – that's the people that do SAC anime doing that thing, right?
I think so, yeah. So they're going to do that. They're going to have the voice actor that does Bowser there and stuff. So it'll be it'll be interesting. So I may go to that.
I should
the kids.
Email those folks because I think the people with SAC Horror that I do a lot with work with them. So I probably know people. But, yeah, so maybe I'll get on that. So it'll be good.
But, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So I had a pretty good time, and I definitely want to go back next year. I'd love to be able to actually show some stuff off next year. Would be kind of fun to have people play stuff, but we'll see.
All right. Well, I'm actually like all the sass aside about the invite and stuff. I understand they had to start over in many ways when they separated from IGDA and so forth. So it's almost like they're kind of like this is like their year one. So I'm really happy to see that it's gone well. It seemed to be very well received, and it's just going to grow from there. And that's awesome. And whatever we can do to support developers in the Sacramento area, like I'm all about it, you know. And that just indie developers in general, like, you know, I say Sacramento because that's where we're at. But if somebody from the Bay Area wanted to drive up here and pitch their game, hell yeah. Like, I'm all about that. So, you know.
Exactly.
We haven't had a lot of guests since we made the movie.
Exactly.
Twitch.
Well,
our
studio
space is a little weird for it. But
yeah, I talked to them. In fact, that Luminous Arc thing, I got one of the developers' emails and stuff. I mean, they're like high school kids, but like it would be it'd be cool just to get like some different developers.
And... Yeah, we can always tape it for a break or at some point, and I've threatened this on the show before, either we're going to have a long-term reshuffle of this studio or we're moving. So, right. And that's that. The second number two seems more likely at this point. So, and the nice thing is the next studio space, Studio N8, or whatever we decide to call the next one, will be designed with streaming in mind, because this one was
this should be Studio Crazy 8.
We were that's actually a good one. We were still radio only. For those of you that are like tuning in on Twitch, you know, for the first time or whatever, and going, God, these guys have kind of a crap layout. Well, it's because we've been an audio only presentation for like 16 plus years. And this isn't even how we were laid out for audio. We were kind of, it was actually even different here. I think I completely faced this way and I didn't even look at him during the show. I didn't even look at him.
I can't even look at you.
I can't even, don't look at, eye contact only when I say the first word. All right. Anyway. Moving on. Let's move on and get back into some rapid fire news. Thanks again. I'm glad at least one of us went to the Capital Creative Showcase, and I do want to wish best of luck to all the local game developers and the gamer collective as they continue to grow.
Well, I also was.
You're welcome back to the show anytime.
The other thing too is like I had mentioned it to the owner of the business that my son does his coding stuff. So I actually ran into them. So they actually went as well, and I'm trying to get them to. I think that if they had a booth there as well, that would be kind of cool. And also maybe like show off some games. And I don't know. I'm just trying
show
to
off that John Cena game your kid made.
Yeah, we could. That'd be funny.
All right. Now, when you like, I wish I could have been doing that shit when I was like 7 years old. Are you fucking kidding? Like, I think it's so awesome what the kids today are doing. You know, when I was seven, the most I was doing was typing in a program in BASIC. In the back, and maybe I would learn that if I change like this number, it would make the text red instead of yellow or something. And I was like, "Ooh, I did that!" You know. So you got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's get to some rapid fire news and travel around the world of gaming news a little quickly with some quick headlines. Loki.
So apparently, Cyberpunk 2077 is getting multiplayer, so that's kind of cool. Apparently, the game's going to launch with just the single player. Of course, in April, after DLC is released, the multiplayer is going to be rolled out. So, curious to see what that's all about, but I'm very excited for Cyberpunk 2077. So, we'll have to see what it is. This is kind of cool. So, it's been a while since we talked about Grand Theft Auto, and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was ported to mobile devices back in 2013. So, it's been a long time. I mean, they ported to Xbox 360 after that. And so, but apparently, though, there's... some YouTubers have discovered that there's some hidden developer codes in there. So on top of what cheat codes were already in the game, they've discovered that there's additional stuff that they added specifically for the mobile version, which is kind of cool. So some of these cheats apparently give certain weapons and stuff that aren't easily available in the game. There's some that script or pass some of the missions, so it's a script bypass cheat, and it's kind of cool. So they have some of these outlined now that you can check out. Very cool.
This is relevant to all of your interests. Like, it's Grand Theft Auto and it's cheating in games.
I love both. Yes.
It's the perfect.
I will have to
somebody
check it out.
Somebody gets their cake.
It's been a while
today
since they played the mobile version of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but like I'll have to check it out.
This is worth a reinstall at least. Sure. All right, moving on to a coming and going in the gaming industry. Ikumi Nakamura has actually departed from Tango and ZeniMax. Ikumi Nakamura was working on a game called Ghostwire Tokyo, and this is how a lot of you got to know her, because she was a very like positive, kind of peppy individual that was on stage at E3 this year, and everybody was like, oh, you know, like somebody who seems to enjoy working games and having fun, and that energy is kind of infectious. So it's a little bit like, oh, shucks, to hear the on the Twitter announcement after from Nakamura 193 is her handle on Twitter. After 9 years as creative director and art director at Tango and ZeniMax, I felt here is one ends of the journeys. I learned from the talented people I worked with and I respect. Contact me if anyone wants to work with me. And then left a link to her LinkedIn. So they didn't really say like why, what's going on. It is interesting that she leaves the LinkedIn at the end. So that means there isn't something else immediately lined up potentially. So not sure what to read into that. It's not really my business anyway, but we wish her all the best and hope she finds a dream job to her liking very soon. Because she was a lot of, she should be on stage representing somebody at E3.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe Konami will have availability. I know. Konami's been kind of like the laughing joke of the industry for a couple of years now, which has always pained our hearts because obviously this show's roots are in Dance Dance Revolution and other Konami created franchises. But you know what? You got to give credit when credit is due. And some of the recent Konami offerings, like their Bomberman reinvention was pretty good. The Castlevania collection and the Gradius collection, all those new collections, you know, even though they're collections.
Just re-releases of their old games.
But yeah. At least they included the Japanese versions. At least they did some like extra things with them. So, you know, we'll give credit where credit's due. But they have plans for new console games involving, quote, globally known IPs. This was in an interview with Konami Europe president Masami Sato, saying that the publisher is still looking at high-end console games and plans to make more games beyond Pro Evo Soccer and Yu-Gi-Oh! To, quote, work on projects with other globally known IPs in the near future, which leaves many people to fan wank away at, could they just do a Metal Gear without Kojima? Because, I mean, they could. They'd be within their rights.
Well, we do have the basically their streaming or stage show timeline for Tokyo Game Show.
Okay, but this is coming off of, is that a NeoGAF logo? Okay, that's
but
all
it's,
I'm say.
It's from the official okay, site, though.
All right. Is it? Okay. I was like, he's reading a NeoGAF post. Okay, so what's the timeline?
So, like, some of the stuff that they're going to be talking about, of course, Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. They've got Super Bomberman RX. Bonkuri Collaboration Stage. I don't know what that is. Death March Club. They have several games that have to do with baseball. Of course, they're powerful pro baseball stuff. A-Train. And then
why have they never put out an A-Train game here?
I don't know.
Dude, the A-Train goes back.
But don't worry. They haven't forgotten about you, Bomani fans, because they have the Bomani Ultimate Mobile Special Stage. It's going to be showing off some stuff for that. That's on September 12th.
Oh, that's it? That's the big thing?
That one's on September 12th. That's it. The rest of the days, you know, they have some stuff talking about the PC Engine Mini.
Okay, I was there's another Konami thing people were excited about. That's right, the PC Engine. That sounded really cool.
Yep.
So, well, and to be fair, this is just Tokyo Game Show. They may still have something else in the works. Who knows? We're left here to imagine maybe a Castlevania or something else in the future. Who knows? Anything's possible, right?
I'm just curious. There may be more stuff that they haven't announced. They're not going to probably like put all their announcements into, you know, their timeline here.
No. Anyway. Nice rapid story, but no, it's all right. Sorry. It was worth digging in a little deeper with. But Darksakura has a few quick things for us, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, SNK put out an announcement that they are doing a Neo Geo Arcade Stick Pro, quote, Pro Gear Spec Advanced Entertainment System based off of the Neo Geo CD controller, which was okay. I mean, I've got one. But yeah, it's going to be the next thing they put out after the Neo Geo Mini. No real information on that yet.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that's just for their Neo Geo systems or if that's going to be, like, for console systems or...
Yeah,
like...
I didn't say. And also, Sony has confirmed they will not be hosting a press conference at Tokyo Game Show 2019. They said on their website that they weren't doing it. They'll be live streaming from their booth at the event, but they are going to focus on games like Final Fantasy VII Remake and... Is it Nio or Neo? Neo 2?
Neo.
And there's rumors that they might talk about an next PlayStation, but not really. But at least the fans there are going to get to play Final Fantasy VII. So.
Oh, they get to get their hands on it.
Yep.
Well, I mean, actually, E3 had a demo too, right? But that wasn't
Release
everybody.
The demo. Release the demo.
I know, right?
Release the demo.
Release the hounds. But, I mean, so Sony just is basically... taking the E3 playbook and applying it here too. They're sitting out because they've got a slower year ahead because they're locking and loading for PlayStation 5 likely next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So Tokyo Game Show doesn't get treated any differently than E3 did, it sounds like, at the end of the day. So, all right. Let's see. Oh, and Bobby Blackwolf points out the Evil G Expo, which took place during our break. I think maybe the weekend of our tape show, had the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo playable. One of the local Twitch streamers is a store manager. So That's right. I got to meet some Twitch people at Dragon Con because there was a couple Twitch meetups I got taken to. And then, of course, there were a few panels. So I really should have said a big hello at the top to anyone I met at Dragon Con. But I imagine most people, if they looked up the feed, probably heard last week's show first instead. So, but this one's the full show as opposed to the hour and a half. Although I will say about the tape show that we did, the Twitter thing, those questions were so good, and a lot of the discussion that we had, I think, as a result, I thought was really good. You can look forward to Twitter being an important part of the show moving forward. I think we'll probably incorporate that back into the show a little more formally, but more info on that to continue. So Nifty805 says, come to TwitchCon. I would love to. I would absolutely love to. The reality is, because I'm starting a new job, I can't. I want to go so bad. You guys don't even know, just because it's such a great networking opportunity and to just learn about the craft and really try to better what we're doing on Twitch. I badly want to go. But again, because I'm starting a new job and the day job is more paying my rent is more important than anything else, I have to make a tough choice. So no TwitchCon for me, sad face. One of my best friends just moved to San Diego, so it's like I have a place to stay. So don't think I'm not like turning the gears. Is there a way this could work one way or the other? So we'll see. Anyway. All right. Let's move on and travel around the world and check out some world release dates.
All right.
Did we get both your stories? I'm sorry, Darsagra. Did we get Okay, sorry.
The Neo Geo and then Sony.
Right. Sorry, I had a Space Cadet moment. Okay, so let's move on and talk about world release dates and what's coming out in a gaming store near you.
We've got Caravan Stories on PlayStation 4, eFootball Pro Evolution Soccer 2020. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Gears 5 on PC and Xbox One. Greedfall on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have... and I'm going to mispronounce this already. I'm not even going to pronounce it. There's a game coming out on PlayStation 4. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to try to butcher the Japanese.
It is a game.
It is an action role playing.
You might decide to
beat 'em up game. Utawar. Yeah. My American mouth cannot say the Japanese name.
That hasn't stopped me in 15 years.
What is it? I don't know how to pronounce that.
Utawareru Monozan.
All right, that'll work. Sure, why not?
I was also reading it sideways.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Speaking of beat 'em up games, while we've been out, that River City Girls came out, and mm-hmm. I got to check that out at some point. I was watching some Let's Plays of that, and that looks fun. So, just throwing that out there.
One of the big games I'm looking forward to this week, Borderlands 3, coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Daemon X Machina on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, NHL 20 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
All right.
Ooh, that game actually looks kind of good.
Traveling over to Japan and checking out the releases over there, because butchering Japanese names hasn't stopped me in the history of this show.
I understand.
And every time Akuma JP is here, he's like crying because poor me is... butchering all this stuff. But actually, the releases I have on PS4 this week have pretty English names. These are not difficult to screw up. Konami is releasing eFootball Winning 11 2020 in Japan this week, so there is that. And then Lethal League Blaze is another game that is coming out this week. Again, both those releases in Japan on the 12th. Going over to the Nintendo Switch and seeing what's coming out over there, Lethal League Blaze is also released on the Nintendo Switch, and then a game called Amnesia. Is that the scary game, Amnesia,
I think so.
Coming out on Nintendo Switch? Because it's called no, it's not.
No, nope.
It's
different Amnesia.
No, this looks okay. That's why I had to look. It is a port of the December 2013 PS Vita title Amnesia. I don't know if that's Amnesia 5 or Amnesia V Edition. It is a memory loss suspense mystery game. So it looks like it's like a graphic novel, or I would say more graphic novel than anime. I like the art actually on the cover. It's like this character holding like this white rose and like surrounded with these cards and interesting patterns. Kind of cool. Yeah, I think it's Pixel Paca says probably a visual novel. I tend to agree. So not to be confused with the scary game Amnesia, here in the States.
It could be the same. You never know.
It could have been. Yeah, why not? Why not a version of that on Switch? Let's go over to the UK and Dark Sakura.
This batch of games are on the 9th. We have Pool Nation for PS4, Goat Simulator the Goaty on Switch. And it's G-O-A-T-Y. I don't know what the Y is standing for. I know what the goat is.
Game of the year? Goat of the year?
Greatest of all time.
Yo.
Yo.
greatest of all the years?
Maybe. Greedfall on Xbox and PlayStation. The Walking Dead, the Telltale Definitive Series. We have eFootball PES 2020, which is real football and not this crap in America. We have Gears 5. What?
Sometimes your shade makes me laugh. It's okay, right?
Okay, yeah.
Do you know okay. Do you know that I will say this one thing about Dragon Con that I noticed. Sorry, I'm in a tangenty mood tonight.
It's okay.
We've been gone for so long.
When
okay?
do we not?
Here's the thing. I've noticed how much straight culture has appropriated fans because like, and I feel like when you do shade, Whoop. You need a thing to go flirp, because okay, here's the thing. I went to the LGBT dance party that they do every year, Spectrum, and the music at Spectrum, not doing it for me. Like, when I go to the LGBT event at Dragon Con, you know what I expect to hear? Britney Spears, Sia, the Spice Girls, which I heard at the Zombie Prom, but I didn't hear it at Spectrum. You know, I expect to hear icons and that type of thing, not this club kid rave music thing they've played every single year. So me and my new friend I met at Dragon Con, and we became fast friends because of all the people in the universe, of the 85,000 people at Dragon Con, I, by coincidence, meet the other guy who plays Survivor games online. So we became fast friends, and we went instead, and him and his roommate, we went from the Spectrum party, we went to the Heroes and Villains Ball, which is what the video game track does, and it's a really big to-do production. And it's the more traditional dance party. It was a lot of – dude, they had pyrotechnics. Like fucking sparks would shoot from the stage and shit. And I was like, is this legal? Who cares? You know, we were having fun. But I would notice when the music – and the music they were playing was much better. When the music would have this – thwack, 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 thwack. Like the girls were getting out their fans. Thwack, 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 thwack. And they would like thwack in unison. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
You know,
you stole that from drag queens, who in turn stole it from somebody else, I'm sure.
One of my queen friends was there, actually, who's also a sister.
Yeah.
So Much Extra. I should have had you.
85,000 people. No, I know.
I should have, though, had some of the sisters out there say hi or something. But they're all wonderful people. Just beautiful
I'm
people.
Sure. I did not see anyone dressed up like a nun, for what it's worth.
No, so. I think that Soma was there in drag. I have to ask and make sure, because I know that she posted something about DragCon,
mm-hmm.
but I'll have to check. On the 10th, we have No Man's Sky Beyond. On the 11th, Modern Warfare PS4 Beta. On the 12th, we have Borderlands 3, Daemon X Machina, NHL 20, Star Wars Pinball. And that's it for that week.
Tiger Claw, I'm not sure if this is like pro or anti what I just said, but I do want to respond to what Tiger Claw is saying in chat, saying, as someone who listens to electronic music, the EDM they've been playing sounds so cheesy and soulless to me. Like the people who made this music is just capitalizing on what's popular with the kids these days. Like I don't really know the genre of music I was listening to at that party. It just wasn't good. And here's the thing, I like a lot of electronic music actually. Like I love my melodic trance playlist on Spotify. So, you know, I have a feeling the type of music you're talking is not what they were playing. It was circuit party stuff. You know, it's the stuff that people are twirling flags and things. It's not what I wanted.
You know what? Stop with the stereotype and just make it fun and glittery. Lots of glitter.
Yes.
Lots of fun. And
less
lots of
balloons.
Britney.
That was annoying. The big balloons were, or these big balls that were being bounced around. And it's like I'd be dancing and then all of a sudden,
no.
Ow, it just fucking hit me in the head. It's that ball again.
Think of disco. Have yourself a mirror ball.
Yeah.
Have yourself some Donna Summer and
fuck yes. Where was the Donna Summer at the
right?
Yeah, there you go.
You know
now
what?
You're talking.
You know what? If I can make it to Dragon Con, I'm gonna talk to my sisters out there and we'll see about having a ball. Category is cosplay realness.
Oh my god. Dark Sakura, you're a genius. Why is there not a cosplay ball? at Dragon Con. Maybe there is, and I just don't know where
category,
it's at.
Category, instead of having a masquerade or any of that, you have the cosplay bowl. You have it in the category.
Wig.
Fighting game.
Like, I'm just like, this needs to be a thing at Dragon Con. Absolutely.
You also have to have casual gamer realness. You know, where it's like the girls who wear their Han Solo outfits, you know, because it's fall, carrying around their pumpkin spice lattes, but they've got glasses on.
The only thing I'm worried about with doing that is that people would feel like it's extremely appropriated. So I do think if something like that were to happen, there just needs to be some sort of way to make sure that it's done respectfully.
It would be different, though, if we got the Atlanta sisters involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, you bring it in for charity as well. You have the ball for charity. Part of the proceeds go to the con. Part of the proceeds go to the sisters to give to LGBT charities.
Sorry, I'm screaming at this conversation.
And I have to say the bowl.
SSG 100 Matt is like, Loki is lost in this conversation. I'm laughing my ass off because Loki's over there. I'm just programming.
I'm just excluded from the conversation.
We'll teach
first
you
time in a Unity engine butch realness. All right, moving on. Let's move on. What the fuck is our next topic?
You know what,
I don't even know anymore. I have to look up there.
Actually, you know what though?
What?
We could do something like that here. We'll talk later.
Okay, let's talk later. Because I am.
How about some email?
No, I'm sorry. I am all about this. Like, this is a genius idea.
Because
like,
I'm smart.
Once in a while.
Girl, please. I'm smart all the time. You
but
just
again,
don't listen.
Respectfully. You're right. We need to involve the right people to make sure that it is not like a parody of itself, that it is like legit and pays respect to the people who brought this culture to us. Absolutely.
So I'll reach out to my sisters out there. I'm on pretty good terms with I've met a few of them in person because they were out here for a conclave. So I'll reach out.
Yeah.
Say, instead of having this bullshit balloon party.
Well, they can have that too.
Just call it the bullshit balloon party.
I'm always for more instead of replace, you know?
So they can have the bullshit party.
That's right, yes.
The bullshit balloon party is what it's
going to
be called.
But I'm going to the ball.
But we're having the bowl.
All right. Anyway, the cosplay ball.
The cosplay bowl.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it's just so good. Anyway,
I'm
moving
smart.
On.
Anyway.
Mailbag.
Hello, Alar. Thanks for the little pre-recorded show that you made a few weeks back. I just wanted to toss in a thought about the Saturn import question posed by one of the listeners. If you haven't already found one, look for a little cartridge called an Action Replay 4M+. I have a couple of them, just saying. It wears a few different hats. It lets you play import games without needing a mod chip. It acts as a backup memory for your saved games. It also acts as a RAM expansion cart for games that require it, such as Vampire Saver, Marvel Super Heroes, and Street Fighter, some King of Fighters games, and others. I'm going to throw in an anecdote. You need the one that's got the switch on it that switches it between 4 and 1 meg cart, because the KOF games do not play nice with, or the SNK games do not play nice with the 4 meg cart. Just saying. It vastly improves your Saturn owning experience. You really ought to grab one. They can be had on eBay for under $40. You might be able to find them at other places too. The only thing they don't let you do is play Burns. So just saying. I'll end with this. While I'm greatly appreciative that you would entrust me with this extremely valuable President Cat IP, I'm not quite sure that I'm best equipped to handle it. Actually, I'm terrified that I would not live up to the cat, the myth, the legend that is President Cat. So thanks, but I'm going to keep plugging away at my projects over here that I'm about to delay again. Babies are so time-consuming. I say this as I turn back to Forza Horizon 4 yet again because this game is digital crack. Oh well. Warm regards, Aaron YYR.
A humble and respectful declination from YYR.
But don't forget about Vectords.
Don't forget about Vectords, though.
Vectords needs to happen.
All right.
So would it be done in the style of like Vectrex? So it's like,
yes.
Or no, not necessarily Vectrex, but like, what the hell was
Tempest.
That game? Tempest, or I was thinking of like, God, they had him at Qzar. I'm trying to think what the hell was that tank game.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm thinking something
Battle
like
Zone?
Not Battle Zone.
I know what you mean, though.
Maybe Battle Zone.
But I'm thinking something like Tempest.
T-Mech. Like T-Mech.
Yeah, T-Mech. But I want something like Tempest, where all the turds are coming at you. And you have to dodge the Vectords or else they shit on you.
Let the man raise his baby.
But this is good influence.
You know what, though? There
baby.
Is another person in this room that can make games, not necessarily finish them, but can start making games.
You know, I would have, but you haven't finished one.
And you, okay, good for you.
If you would finish one, I would actually even give you an entire pizza. Okay.
It'll be fucking gluten-free or some shit. You don't want
fuck that. If Loki finishes his game on the show, I will buy him the pizza of his choice.
The quadruple bacon pizza.
I will buy you
too much bacon.
Triple bacon pizza.
I will buy you whatever pizza you want and garlic twists. Rob will help me.
All right,
Bobby.
It has to be finished.
Bobby, it's coming out of the budget.
This year.
Okay,
this year. You have to the end of the year for pizza. And we're going to call this contest, which only has one contestant, Time to Pizza.
All right, I like it.
All time right. to pizza.
I love that.
It has one contestant.
This guy's one contestant. There's one contestant in this
I contest. Have a good shot of winning this one.
So you're saying I have a chance.
I have a chance.
So you have at least a 50% chance of winning. You either do it or you don't. There is no try. And maybe
I'll make you a blanket, Loki. I'll ask Jordan what
if
online company he used.
If Time to Pizza is successful, I will open up Time to Pizza for the listeners.
Girl, that's a big
and
order.
And whoever does a game worthy of getting the OLR stamp of approval on it one game next year, I will buy you a pizza.
All right.
I will have it delivered to your house. I'm serious.
Do you know what I was told by somebody on one of those panels, and I'm sorry, I forget who, but apparently, Bobby, were you there? Was it the girl that was in the Too Many Cooks thing? Because, you know, we had a girl from the Too Many Cooks video on one of our panels.
That's awesome.
And I think she was mentioning that you have a plugin that you can put in on Twitch, and you can, oh God, I almost don't want to finish this because Darksoccer is going to immediately go, we're fucking doing it.
I'm already thinking we're going to do it, whatever it is.
You can actually install a thing where the viewers can buy you Uber Eats and have it delivered to you, but they never see your address because it's through the plugin. So they just do it through the plugin and have you
I don't want random garbage. It's like, what is
this? No, you have like a list of like your preferred dishes and they just choose what it is.
But
and
do
then
you have to activate it if you're like actually hungry?
I don't know. I didn't actually research this because I didn't think we were actually going to do it because I thought
I'm going to do it on my channel.
I thought I would be smart enough to not mention it here on the show. Whoops!
I'm going to do it on my channel. When I go up, y'all can feed me. I mean, I have the stomach the size of like an apple, but y'all can feed me. I like Korean food.
Now that the words are leaving my mouth, I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine?
Are you full of regrets?
If we had that button on this show,
are you
and Dark Soccer is like, I want a taco.
Ding dong. Taco! But anyway, back to Time to Pizza. Okay, because
oh, yes.
I'm forming this right now.
Okay.
You're the only contestant this year. Do you see my finger on the thing?
Yes, but it's two and a half hours in, girl.
Yes.
We got to finish the show up.
Okay. This year, you're the only contestant. Next year, top 10 entries, I will consider one. And December of next year, the winner gets a pizza. Because I'm a cheap bitch. That's at least $25.
All right. Do we have another email?
Fuck no.
All right. I have breaking news. You ready?
Is it pizza?
No, it is not pizza. I would argue this is better than pizza, but you're probably going to disagree.
Is it Animal Crossing?
It's a text message from Shane. And shouldn't those be treasured? And he's actually in chat and said, check your phone. When Shane was the one who said, I shouldn't be checking my phone while doing OLR, but here I am.
Because he said so.
But this is important. I don't know if you said in your show already, but just announced Crystal Chronicles is January 23rd. With cross-platform support for PS4, Switch, iOS, and Android.
Girl.
Cool.
That's cool. Good. That cross-platform on a game like that is a game changer. That's
awesome.
Oh, you
had to clip that. Time to pizza.
I love the clipping system on Twitch. It's wonderful.
Keep me honest. I will get somebody a pizza. But it has to, I do have a few criteria because I am a weirdo. And you have to be able to frame it in something that's going to be quirky enough for us to go, damn. You know, we have to be.
All right. Let's cross the bridge of contestant number one finishing, and then we'll worry about unloading it on the masses and the specifics of how that'll work.
All right, contestant number one.
Because then when I talk about giveaways, there's going to be the Bobby Blackwolf on my shoulder that says giveaway laws. We've got to be careful what we're doing.
This is just me buying someone a pizza.
Okay. All right, fine.
Have a criteria.
Moving on. Next story, please, Loki.
All right. So there's a new Plants vs. Zombies game that's coming out. And now, let's be clear, this is not necessarily a new Plants vs. Zombies puzzle game, but it's, you know, they're Plants vs. Zombies garden warfare type of game. So they have one now. It's called Battle for the Neighborhood. It is a third-person shooter. And, of course, they have now different co-op units. And there's free roam areas as well as an interactive social hub. Apparently, you can play it now on PC, PlayStation 4, or Xbox One. And they have new characters, so three new characters, two co-op classes, and you can team up and battle together with other people. And then, of course, free roam maps, as I mentioned before, and some amusement park-themed stuff as well. And I think this is a... I thought this was a free-to-play game, but they also have a Founders Edition, which is $29.99.
Free-to-play stuff usually has Founders packs that are like, you get extra stuff in the game because you're an early supporter, yeah.
So, So they also have a non-Founders version of the game that's going to cost $10 as well. It looks okay. I never really played the second or first game of this. I know I have it in my library from one of those free PlayStation Plus months, but I don't know. I just am worried of any EA game, especially if it has microtransactions in it, but I don't know. It looks cute.
It's nice to see that the Plants vs. Zombie franchise is still going, even though it's not really the puzzle game it used to be, but the shooter game was cute. It was a free game. The other one was like a free download on Xbox at some point, and I checked it out. It was cute.
Yeah, it looks neat.
Shooters go. So yeah, I'm glad it's still going.
I'm sure that's someone's cup of tea.
Yep. All right, moving on to another Discord submitted story for this week. This one from Dungeon Buster actually sent us this story about, and it's from The Guardian, which is kind of I think it's bigger in the UK, but this is actually The Guardian's US edition. And this is a story about, oh boy, it's does loot boxes lead to gambling? But I'm sure this is being presented to us because of the fact that here is a larger media site, you know, in the angle that they're taking on it.
Well, I want to see what they say, but I have a thing to add to that, to how it is.
Sure. This is a story, again, The Guardian is reporting this about a gentleman named, I'm not going to read the whole story for you guys, but Adam Bradford is the kind of the subject of the story, and the father, David. And I guess what was happening is that the father was jailed for 2 years for stealing from employers to fund a compulsive online gaming habit, which is like, and then showed up in all the papers. So Adam was quoted in the story saying, we were devastated because we didn't know what a gambling addiction really was. And so he made this organization called a Safer Online Gambling Group. And they're saying that basically the addiction was a psychological problem. It needed treatment and so forth. And then they talk about kind of like how it was portrayed in the media about like, you know, he was just an addict and all this stuff. The point about this is because this forum that they created, this club they created, the Safer Online Gambling Group, SOG, it looks like it says SOGGY, but it's SOG. So SOG made this, and they launched a campaign, this SOG organization, tackling what happens to children and what they are saying is a link between gambling and gaming because of loot boxes. And, of course, as we all know, loot boxes are the in-game rewards and so forth. And Adam, one of the founders of this, says, it's a game of chance as to whether or not you're going to get a better weapon or a better player or extra points. Odds are not disclosed. That's why we're comparing it to gambling. And then they're saying that this simulated gambling leads to betting for children. One more quote here from the older one that was in jail for the gambling. David, gambling and gaming have been neighbors divided by a brick wall, but now there's a gateway in it. And I don't think that gateway is being policed. Now, I don't see anywhere in this article, unless it comes up much later, but it doesn't talk about what's happening in the U.S. with Nintendo. Yeah, I don't see the Nintendo, Microsoft, PlayStation alliance, you know, about how they're going to force the disclosure in the stores. That's not mentioned in here. surprised. They didn't do the research or whatever. What's the date? I want to make sure this article has a recent date on it. Yeah, 3rd of September. So it was just from this last week.
Yeah. So you want to talk about bad timing on the part of the games industry. So you know how there's this whole thing where they're investigating, you know, kind of ties between loot boxes and gambling and stuff like that. So what's a company like Take-Two, you say, going to do in their brand new sports game to help make sure that that line isn't crossed? Oh, I know. Let's put fucking gambling in the game. So they literally have in their loot boxes, it's a fucking slot machine. Mind you that the game is rated E for everyone. It's a fucking slot machine that you have to pull. That they literally like simulates pulling a slot machine to see what fucking player card you're going with. They had a whole trailer dedicated to the goddamn loot boxes of the game.
I do remember seeing that trailer, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you stupid idiots? I mean, like,
you're right. That is why we have this. And as much as we want to sit here and say these guys are well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to sit here and say these guys are full of it, because we haven't really been on this. Like, I don't really love the loot box thing. And I think, yeah, they need to disclose the odds on all this stuff and those loot boxes. Although what I don't want to see the loot boxes regulated by the government, because I don't necessarily trust our government to regulate things correctly. That's just the reality of the year we live in 2019. So I would prefer that the publishers and the storefronts, which, to be fair, they did, and that was the big, you know, kind of footnote we had a couple weeks ago, was that, you know, Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony are going to address this on their end, and they're going to do something within the stores to regulate it, so hopefully the government doesn't feel the need to step in and regulate it, because unfortunately, when you've got what Take-Two's doing, it plays right into this, and so...
Yeah, and to clarify, you don't win money with the slot machine, but the fact is that they keep comparing loot boxes with the random chance to get something. And yes, it's not necessarily money, and you're not necessarily spending real money for that. But you're spending real money to buy fake money to spend on the, you know, the random chance to get something. But the problem is, though, is they've been trying to say, well, it's not, you know, exactly the same as gambling, because, you know, it's not really going through the same motions as gambling. It's kind of like a random loot, you know, like random surprise egg or something like that. But then you make it look like a casino game, and that's the problem. It's like, okay, well, you can't use the excuse, well, it's not teaching kids how to gamble. It's fucking teaching them how to play a slot machine. I mean, I get it. You're winning, you know, loot cards and stuff. But the cards have different values to them because you're paying money to try to get a chance to get these cards. That would be like saying that, like, if I go and buy, you know, a Magic the Gathering pack or something like that, and there's a rare card in there, that rare card has value because you could technically sell it. Granted, in this game, you can't sell any of the stuff that you get in these loot boxes, but that's kind of, they're basically riding the line as much as they can.
Let me read this very honest comment here from SJ100 Matt in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SJ100 Matt says, I used to buy Ultimate Team card packs for the NHL franchise. I once spent $250 just on these card packs in an NHL game. The Ultimate Team structure is set up that in order for you to have a good team, you need to spend money to get better players. If you don't, you fall behind and have a trash team. I realized this, but I kept putting money into it. Why? Because I was addicted to it and wanted to have a better team. I've stopped playing that mode years ago when I realized it wasn't worth it. So some very real, harsh, true feedback from our chat about how, you know, sometimes maybe that desire, the competitive edge, that desire for competition, like, drives us to spend a lot of money.
And
on
they
stuff.
Know
I've
that.
Dropped more than I care to admit on Pokemon Go. At least I don't feel like I'm gambling. Like, I know what I'm buying. But at the same time, you know, it is kind of – when you throw the balls at the raid things, there's no guarantee you're going to catch it. Shinies are a random chance as well, right?
Right. Well, they know, though, like, when they're designing games, they create a problem that they then also create the solution for with these loot boxes or in-game purchases. You know, like, they have a lot of games where you can buy XP bonus or XP boosts or whatever. They purposely slow down the XP in the game so that you want to buy those XP boosts. That's why. And they say it's just, you know, well, we're giving you the opportunity to do that. You don't have to do that. But yes, they're forcing you in the direction, or they're trying to prod you in the right direction for them because that's how they're designing the game. They have to balance it around that. Just like when, for example, they removed the loot boxes from that Lord of the Rings game, they had to rebalance the whole game because while they said, oh, the loot boxes don't really affect the gameplay, they did affect the gameplay, and they had to rebalance the whole game in order for it to feel right after they removed the loot boxes.
All right. So anyway, just to kind of wrap this up so we can move on so our show isn't too long tonight, but it just goes to show that, you know, despite the fact that we have the Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony news about the storefronts, this issue still is not over. This article that got linked to us in Discord is still from this week. This is a conversation that is still continuing. This trailer that you talked about from Take-Two is still very recent. So this issue, not on the other side of it yet. So this is something the gaming industry really has to think about how they're going to tackle. Anyway, in the interest of time, we're going to move on to our next story, which is from Dark Sakura.
EA won an award. They won a Guinness World Record. You know what for? For having the most downvoted comment in Reddit history. Yep. And also, it was, ironically, the record for the 2020 Guinness book was also posted on Reddit. So, yay. But anyway, the comment, had 683,000 downvotes. And this was the comment. I'm going to read it. And everyone will go, oh, that? And this was about Star Wars Battlefront. The intent is to provide players with a sense of pride and accomplishment from unlocking different heroes. Yep, you guessed it. It's loot boxes. As for costs, we selected initial values based upon data from the open beta and adjustments made to milestone rewards before launch. Among other things, we're looking at average per-player credit earn rates on a daily basis and we'll be making constant adjustments to ensure that players have challenges that are compelling, rewarding, and, of course, attainable via gameplay. We appreciate the candid feedback and the passion the community has put forth around the current topics here on Reddit, our forums, and across numerous social media outlets. Our team will continue to make changes and monitor community feedback and update, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so, yeah, it was regarding having to unlock characters like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker in Star Wars Battlefront 2 in 2017 through loot boxes.
Yep. Not surprised to hear that that was the winner. Well, I remember talking about it was the most downvoted comment in Reddit history at the time. But now the fact that, like, the Guinness World Record book has, like, certified, like, wow, your comment was sucky. Like, the fact that that is, like, here's this piece of paper from Guinness acknowledging you wrote a dumb thing.
You did a stupid.
You did a stupid thing.
Congratulations, EA. You win at sucking.
There's just some type of, like, very strange
sad trombone moment
coming out of that. There
that
really
is an absolute sad trombone moment.
How hard is it? How much does it cost to get Guinness to, like, certify something? Like, should we try to see if we really are the longest running, like, video game show internet thing? I don't know what we'd call it. I know, but, like, you know, the having the actual Guinness name behind it, I could put that on the fucking banner. World record holder.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, look into it.
With all the other things I'm looking into.
Can you bring that to the next meeting?
Okay. You better invest in the good coffee.
Fair enough. I got pumpkin spice coffee. That is the good coffee.
Girl, I brought you basic bitch cookies. I suggest you eat one.
I will eat one. I'm going to eat one later after the credits. All right.
I want to know what you think.
I know. I'm going to eat one after the credits. Okay. But I had Panda Express earlier, so I'm still like...
I had Panda Express earlier, too.
I know. Oh, we're on the same wavelength. All right. Okay. Anyway, next story. Loki, this involves another host here at the Voice of Geeks Network, right?
Yes.
So it's an inside joke. It's not, yeah.
So Kojima mentioned that he is incorporating a very easy mode into Death Stranding. So basically this would be kind of geared towards like...
Bobby Blackwolf?
Maybe. I says he basically said, you know, normally there is only an easy mode, but we added a very easy mode for movie fans since we have real actors like Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, and Lea Seydo starred in, even Yano-san, who never completed the first stage of Pac-Man, was able to complete the game on very easy mode. So they have normal or hard mode for action game fans. So, accessibility is not bad, especially with a game that's, like, very cinematic like this. I mean, I could see how some people just may not want to – they may know, maybe just they don't want to play through it, or like, you well, know.
Even a game like Mass Effect, correct me if I'm wrong, Garsakra, didn't Mass Effect 3 like have a mode where you could like up the combat and just like forget the story and just play the combat mode?
I think it did.
You could do a mode that was like just the story elements without any of the combat sequences.
Yeah, but I always did both because I like to explore the levels.
Right, and I think there was also a thing where like you make some decisions during combat sometimes, so you actually are missing a little bit if you do it that way. But, you know, this whole concept of let's have the game be more of a narrative thing like a movie is not completely new.
No.
I mean, you know, for all the discussion we've had about a walking simulator, right, and those types of games, like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and stuff, these games that you don't die, you don't lose, you just have to walk around and talk to the right people, you know, but I still think those games can be very powerful and very good. So
yeah.
I think it's fine that Death Stranding is having a, and if you don't know, the inside joke comes from a long way back. There was a controversy about the game Borderlands and the BFF mode. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf had one of the developers on his show and suggested, I don't remember how it all came to, I'm really paraphrasing here, but essentially BFF was recategorized to mean Blackwolf Friends Forever mode, because Bobby Blackwolf confessed that he's not necessarily the most skilled game player in the world, which is fine. You can love video games and suck at them. I'm living proof as well. But I'll probably, if I do play Death Stranding, which I probably will, but I'm like, there's a lot of games that are asking for my money over these next couple months. We'll see. I'll probably play in easy mode. I won't play in very easy mode, but I'll play in easy mode. All right, so Alan's coming on camera. Yeah, make sure you have pants on, please, or something. That. So what, you brought Oreos to the studio. Uh-oh. And what are these? So these are, what flavor is this? Maple cream.
Maple cream. It's
not
in the house.
Mm. It does, because of all those freaking candles.
I brought cookies. I made pumpkin spice
cookies. Oh, yeah,
cookies.
You can have the first of these cookies.
I need to know what they taste like.
Take one of those and enjoy them. All right, but well, if I don't eat one of those, she's going to be very upset. She made them. Like, these were made in a factory. Those were made at home with love.
Those were made with my heart.
All right. Anyway.
Just watch out for the red stuff.
All right. Also, yeah, Tiger Claw giving us a related tweet in our chat room saying Keanu Reeves stopped by to see Kojima recently. That's true. I did see that picture. That's fun.
Cool.
I wonder what project they're working on. I'd be curious about that. Anyway, SJ100 Matt says, why should someone get good in order to beat a game that they just want to finish for the story or other reasons? Yeah, exactly. I looked up, Pixel Paca says, I looked up Guinness Records. There is one for longest running weekly podcast, same host, and no submittals for it. Here's the thing. Because if we go to the level like Guinness, do we get tripped up on a technicality that this show wasn't a podcast in 2002? The show existed in 2002, but it wasn't a podcast until 2004. I don't know. So that's where things get tricky. So technically, I'm okay with saying we're the longest running video game online show.
How about longest running live video game show?
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Because we've been mostly live, except for like 98% live.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll look into it. We will. Anyway, we need to move on. one more story. Guess what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is, or well, today for many of you listening on the podcast feed, September 9th, 2019, which means 20 years ago was 9/9/99. And what happened on that day, 9/9/99?
Dreamcast.
No, it was Final Fantasy VIII.
No, 9/9/99 was the U.S. release of the Dreamcast.
No, I know. It was both. But you're right. Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Why? What's written up there? It says Dreamcast anniversary.
Dreamcast is the most important.
That's right. Dreamcast was released on 9/9/99. What's interesting about the whole kind of coincidence of the 20th anniversary coming up, you know, Shenmue 3 is finally coming out soon. There's actually going to be a PlayStation 4 Collector's Edition that will come with a Dreamcast-style case from Limited Run Games. And, of course, the pre-orders are going up on 9/9 at 12 Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. So, yeah, check that out. So you can order that if you want at limitedrungames.com, and it does have like a little Dreamcast pack for Shenmue 3, which I thought is pretty cool. But I also thought quickly before we open up the Discord and take some calls, and if you want to call us tonight, head on over to our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord and join the green room. Before we get to those calls, I'm just curious of some Dreamcast memories here in studio. So what are some of your favorite like Dreamcast memories? Dark Soccer, you guys like camped out and got did you guys get the Japanese system?
Well, we already had that, yeah. But yeah. We did camp out. We were in the line for the I think it was a GameStop finally, or maybe it was the EB. I'm trying to remember. But we camped out at Arden Fair Mall, and my friend Melissa and I went over to Barnes & Noble to buy books from the cheap section to read in line. So, we camped and got a Dreamcast, and Dan and I were like, okay, we've got another Dreamcast. What are we going to do? And because we'd already been playing our Dreamcast for a while. But it was cool. It wasn't the last time I camped out for a system, but it was one of the last few times I camped out. So
I would say the Nintendo Wii was the last time I remember camping out. That was a big to do because that was when we went around. We were giving out donuts to people locally. That was a lot of fun. I wish
I wasn't camping out for the Wii U. I camped out for the Wii.
No, I know. I meant the Wii.
But you weren't there with me. That was me and Kristen.
No, I went with you guys for a little. I didn't stay overnight.
No,
with you
guys. You weren't there overnight. Chris and I stayed overnight.
Yeah, Extifer went
that
because
was
I pay. I said, Extifer, if you go camp out for it, I'll let you pick one of the games I buy. And he did it because he knew he'd have access to it because we'd be in the same house. So he did it because I was like, I can't stay up all night.
Yeah, Chris and I went out and then they went out to go get.
It was donuts and orange soda.
And coffee. We got donuts and coffee.
Yeah. There was orange soda involved, though. I remember
because someone let us cut a place in line.
Because it was like it was the people who recognized our show.
Yeah.
They were like, you're on my iPod like right now. Yeah. I remember that. That was awesome. I wonder if that guy still listens.
Well, anyway, but that was a really fun time. And we just hung out. Like, we had their laptop. And we just, like, did chat-based role play most of the night. And just talked about stuff and hung out. It was actually really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun night.
Anyway, sorry. It was supposed to be the Dreamcast, not the Wii. What about you, Loki?
My Dreamcast, I got at a Quasar All-Nighter. I won it in a raffle. Yeah, so I wasn't actually planning on picking up a Dreamcast ever, and then I won it, and so I was like, okay, cool, buy some games. And then I bought games for it.
Shad Starzik or Shane in our chat wants to point out this comment just scrolled off. I camped out at an EB Games for my Dreamcast. I was so freaking excited for it, and it was not a disappointment, and I miss it so much. Also, kind of piggybacking on that, I camp out for like every system, even if I pre-order it in advance. Yeah, but I feel like so many people just like order it off Amazon now and it's just waiting for them when they get home. Like, that's how the PlayStation 5 is going to work. I don't think people are going to camp out for it. They're just going to order it online and it'll be delivered while they're at work. You know, that's, I feel like that's kind of where it's going. But we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we will still have the camp outs because it's not like every system's going to go to Amazon. Best Buy will still have some. GameStop will still have some. And, you know, Walmarts and Targets. So who knows? Maybe the systems will see the camping out thing happen again. So we'll see. Let's see. My Dreamcast. See, I didn't get on board with Dreamcast until later. Because I actually fell out of gaming for a couple years around the time I was in college and right after and trying to get my bearings and like my career and things like that. So I didn't get the Dreamcast until they were marked down to like $40. And I went and I bought a Dreamcast way after the fact because I learned that you could like burn your own discs with Homebrew, including it. This is probably like after I knew you and you because I remember like we burned a disc of NES games.
Julie like, had that server, remember?
Oh, that's right. Because I just remember using the Dreamcast to play the Guardian Legend, which is a perfectly acceptable use of a Sega Dreamcast. But then I also discovered the wonders and awesomes of Phantasy Star Online. And I found a cheap copy of that and started playing that. And I was like, this game is fucking awesome. So, like, I was really late to the party, but I loved it. So that was my Dreamcast story. So, anyway. There you go. So, some Dreamcast reflection. What was your favorite Dreamcast game when all is said and done? And last call for any, Discord callers tonight over at, our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord.
I I really did like Phantasy Star Online. And I liked, Puyo Da, the music, the Puyo Puyo music game. That was really fun.
Wasn't Capcom SNK 2?
Yeah.
On, yeah,
the fighting games are, of course, fantastic.
That was one of my faves.
But I'm, like, trying not to focus on the obvious.
Yeah. Power Stone, I have to say. I mean,
powerful.
Yeah, it's obvious, but I'm sorry, I can't help it. But honestly, Phantasy Star Online, like, I feel like that game changed everything. It really did. Like, that is when I started, like, loving online game experiences, MMO-type things. That game is revolutionary, and I'm so excited that PSO2, even if it's supposed to be, like, a different thing, I'm happy that we're actually getting a release of it here in the U.S. It's about fucking time. Loki, what about you when it comes to the Dreamcast?
Probably Power Stone as well. I really like that game.
Yeah. Dark Tetsuya says, oh man, tough call. Crazy Taxi is in my top five easily.
Also, I had Tony Hawk Pro Skater on there. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. Good choices. Good choices. All right. We had a couple people join the green room, so I'm going to get through these two calls here, and then we can wrap up. But first, we'll take some calls. So, hello. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Shane.
Hey, Shane. It's good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
I wanted to say that, first of all, moving is a blast and is super fun, and everybody should do it.
Is this the introduction to the opposite sketch? Because that is such a lie. Moving is terrible.
It really is. But once you get it done, it's awesome. I've got my new Shane Cave thing. It looks really good with the lights, and it's less cluttered.
Wait, send me pictures. I want to see the Shane Cave.
Okay, hold on.
All right. Well, you don't have to do it right this second, but I'm just saying eventually.
Well, I can do it and talk. I've only been on one Ambien so far tonight, so
oh,
it's okay.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. By the way, guys, Shane tried to tank an instance in Final Fantasy XIV last night while he had taken two Ambien, which you're not supposed to do. And, like, he literally fell asleep during one of the boss encounters. And I'm like, why are you forcing yourself to stay awake? And I'm going to yell at you.
Tanking. You were tanking.
Whatever. You were healing, and you were, like, standing in bad. You fell asleep. It was terrible.
So two not so appropriate for dungeons. Got it. Anyway. Okay, I'm taking a picture of this room. And I just wanted to talk about now my feelings about Dreamcast, because more to my story from earlier is I worked at Target for that launch. Like, I worked that launch, but I went over to the EB Games or Electronics Boutique just because I knew the person there and I wanted to help them out. And it was, I don't think I had felt that, like, amazed at buying a console until the Switch. So from the Dreamcast to the Switch, that's where I was in terms of, like, being in awe.
I forgot that you ever worked at a Target, for one. I mean, but that was before.
Yeah,
anyway.
That was my first job ever. So.
Yeah. So you went over to EB Games, even though you could have just. Were you allowed to put one aside for yourself? Probably not. That's probably why you had to do that
at Target?
In the first place, huh?
Oh, I don't know, because back then, to me, there was no huge. Okay, because GameStop is the thing everybody hates. These were EB Games. These were, like, cool people. They didn't really do a lot of tracking for, like, pre-sales or upsell you as much. It was more like the way you'd want to be treated as a customer. And
it
so
was
I
all Funko Land here in California. Same
yeah,
idea. Or Software Etc. was the other big one. So
yeah,
we had,
yeah, exactly. So I didn't. I feel responsible to go over there and buy the stuff I want. But anyway, I'm trying to take a good picture right now of this so I can send it to you, because it's your screen right now. So I'm backing up.
Okay, so some comments there. In chat saying Kaijudo says not everybody. I love GameStop. S200 Matt says the electronic boutiques back in the day were great. We did have EB Games here though, because they used to have one in Arden Mall. So there were a couple of them, but I remember Software Etc. was the big one.
Once GameStop bought EB Games, that's why you wouldn't have them anymore.
Yeah. Well, for the longest time, there was a GameStop and an EB Games in the mall, even after one bought the other. It was only, like, God, it feels like it was only, like, 5 years ago they finally closed that EB Games. It really wasn't that long ago. A lot of folks reminiscing about Babbage's, I notice, as well. So that was another one of those chains that was in the the collective that GameStop ultimately bought. So.
And I did post something on Twitter about GameStop actually going to bat for me this week. I had a funky Joy-Con situation on the new model Switch, and we talked it out, and she opened up another box to see if it was having the same issue. And it wasn't, sorry, it wasn't just the Joy-Con. It was like the railings on the Joy-Con. And she swapped it out for me. And it made me realize that as harsh as I am on people that work at GameStop, they are people that, for the most part, will try to help you out. And I can't, it's their corporate that sucks.
And yeah, that's absolutely right. Any criticism I've ever had of GameStop is usually about their corporate and not usually the employee, but there are some, and this is, you know, obviously the exception is not the rule. There are some employees that use it as a power trip. Like they're the fucking gatekeeper of video games. You know what I mean? And that's always like dumb, but not everybody does that. Obviously you've had some good experiences as well with that.
Yeah. And so I actually went over there and pre-ordered something. Sucks to be them, though. I found it cheaper other places, so I'm going to go cancel it. But they should have known better. Okay, I'm almost on my last picture for you. And then I'm going to send it. The send button. Okay, so it's coming in. It's not finished. I'm still getting another bookshelf delivered, I think sometime this week, that we'll put together.
Oh, sorry.
Do you trade? It got quiet.
Yes. Sorry. Is there? Did you want to share more Dreamcast memories?
Oh, me? Sorry. Yeah. I'm like all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes. So, two others. I got Samba de Amigo, and my dog peed all over the mat.
I totally forgot about Samba de Amigo. That was such a good game, though.
Yeah, it was such a good game. And then a game I got obsessed with that I don't think ever came out here. I had to be shown like a burned game of it. Cool Cool Tune. That game was awesome. It has great music. And I recently tried to look up some videos on it on YouTube, and I didn't find nearly as many as I wanted. So,
okay, so I'm just getting all the pictures of your little Shane cave and all the blue and purple and red and stuff in there. It does look really nice, but like... I feel like that would be hard on the eyes. It's kind of dark in there.
It's actually... No, the lighting is actually easier on my eyes.
Huh, interesting. All right. All right. Well, anything else you want to bring up here before I get to another call here and then wrap up?
No, that's fine.
All right. Well, good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Good night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, let's go to one more call here, and after this, we'll wrap up. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, it's good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Not too much. It's great to hear from you all again, and welcome back from Dragon Con. Thank
you.
You're welcome. A couple of things. I'm going to be about my way, because it is getting a little late here. Early on, when you mentioned Castlevania, I know I shared this with Jamie last week, but I came across this amazing heavy metal cover of Vampire Killer.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, yes.
That was really good.
And I think she also has a couple of other covers as well that is just as great. I will gladly go ahead and link that in the chat, because I think everybody needs to hear this because it's so good.
Sadly, I can't really play it here on the show, but you can link that in the chat, and I'll have to check that out. I didn't hear this, so
it's good. Done. Now, the second thing, you're talking about Dragon Con and the cosplay and guys doing cosplay. I'm just here beaming as I'm sitting here editing convention photos. Bro, let me tell you, when you were talking about dudes just revealing, there was one convention I went to. They had a Virgin Killer photo shoot meetup. Basically, in this video of it, there was a bunch of guys wearing Virgin Killer sweaters for the photo shoot, and it was like one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sweaters are ugly.
It kind of is, but, you know, I have seen people match them with certain outfits and it looks pretty well, you know?
Yeah. But you just have to have a really nice back for that.
Well, that too. And as long as the back is shaven too, you know what I'm saying?
There is that, yes. I don't know. I know a few bears that might be into that look.
So do I. But
yeah, do you notice like the trend I was mentioning about like Dragon Con and, you know, all these guys, is this something you're noticing too? Is that you see a lot more like dudes that are getting more and more comfortable with what they're wearing?
Absolutely. I mean, not for nothing. Like, for one, the cosplays that I do is Human Artemis from Sailor Moon. Part of his stomach is showing, and I got that, you know, Buddha belly, so I'm like, I don't like to show it. But lately, it's like when I do the cosplay, I'm like, you know what? F it. I'll just go it as is, and it goes over pretty well. It's like, it's just the confidence of people. It's just going over. It's like if person A can do it, person B can do it. Let's just roll with it, you know, because I will say this. I went to BronyCon last month, and I will say of all the conventions I've gone to, I have never seen so many people comfortable in their cosplays, their original concept cosplay designs, everything. It was just people were just absolutely happy being who they were. I have not felt something like this in a very long time.
I will say there is something very empowering about the whole, like, fuck it mentality. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm all for it. And I'm just like, and I understand that there are some cosplays that are a little bit too revealing, which I totally get. But you can always, like, do slight adjustments to it for your body type. So you can still rock it however you want. And if you want to do it just the way it is, then you do you.
Very true. Very good message. And I think we'll leave it on that. But more to come on this week's Anime Jam Session, right?
Yeah, we have a lot to catch up on because we didn't have a show last week.
Yeah. I know you guys had a flight issue or something, right? Because I got delayed, but you got like super delayed because you got canceled or something, right?
Yes, I got canceled and I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a flight to Philly, then catch a train to New York so I could be to work.
Yikes. Mr. Smush is distracting the show. What else is new? Anyway, Rama, I'm going to say goodnight so we can wrap up. But thank you so much for your call.
No problem. Good night and good luck.
All right. Take care, buddy.
That's it.
All right. Well, I think with that, we're going to wrap up for the night ourselves here because we've been running a long time. It's over a 3-hour show tonight, but not that that's a bad thing whatsoever. We had a lot to say after we've been gone for a little bit, but yep. It is that time for us to wrap up the show and get everybody's final thoughts so we can get on out of here for the night. But we'll be back in 7 days to talk about the latest in gaming. We know Tokyo Game Show is fast approaching, so that's going to be a thing. No, he's probably whining about that. Sorry. Also know we're going to have the news on Nintendo's fitness thing to talk about next Sunday. So it's going to be a very busy show. And so we hope you'll be here live at Twitch TV to experience it, or at least check it out on our podcast feed, which is available, of course, on iTunes and Google Play and most of the places where podcasts are available. Just not Spotify yet, but that's something I'm working on. So by the end of the year, it's one of those things on the list in the next few weeks. Before we wrap up, I'll also say if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please leave us a nice 5-star review. Those go an awful long way in helping the show get promoted and exposed and all that. Hosts on Twitch go a really long way as well. Please consider adding Vogue Network to your auto host list. Those are all super, super helpful and really help with the exposure. So thank you, everybody who does support the show, be it here live at Twitch or via the podcast. We appreciate all of you guys, however you consume the show. Anyway, let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts tonight. So I'll start because usually I end up last. So my final thought is I'm gonna go move this blanket onto the bed now and make Alan sleep with this blanket. I think that would be fun, especially when I'm going to be gone with orientation for my new job. He could sleep with the blanket and it'll be like I never left. So anyway, Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is I'm going to keep working on my game.
Good. And last but not least, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
Uh, Did you know that Text from Superheroes is still an active website?
No, I did not know that.
And it's still funny.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Okay. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and we will see you again in 7 days. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening or watching Orange Lounge Radio, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.